more to you people. It is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Okay, be honest. Has everybody on the show tried to call Jimmy Butler? Anyone?
I sexted him earlier.
Did you say
I'll bet. I'll bet you they're more
the millennial
than,
way.
I'll bet you.
You were on the Snapchat?
Yeah, I'll bet you there was more than one person who did that. So Jimmy Butler, explain how it was that he got his...
Well, he was essentially saying to any of his critics, if they want to talk to him, feel free to call him. And he just gave out his phone number. 773 area code, by the way. Maybe he was fine with it. He knew he'd have to change his number anyways going up to Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you do call it, it goes straight to voicemail. His mailbox is full.
which I'm sure happened within
you know, the first 5 minutes of him giving that out.
Maybe he's listening to everything right now, and then he'll open it back up. You know, maybe we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. So he didn't care. He was fine with it, giving out the phone number.
Here's what it sounds like when you call his phone.
Jimmy Butler. Sorry I couldn't get to the phone, but leave your name and number, and I'll hit you back. If you got any beef, definitely leave a message.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
No surprise there.
Oh, well.
He had a good run in Chicago.
I like that. It's sort of, and it's, I'm sorry I couldn't answer the phone. That's very nice for an NBA player. Wouldn't most NBA players be like, hey, I don't have time for you.
Busy.
I wouldn't pick up this phone call. I know who you are. That's why I didn't pick it up.
Busy, yeah. Commoners.
But there's like a standard three things you can say on a voicemail. Like, you try all three. You're like,
it was a pretty cookie
like
cutter voicemail from Jimmy, but I think he planned it that way.
I hate people that say, hey. I always fall for it.
Go.
Oh, they try to start a conversation with
I'm
you.
I'm like, hey, it's Violetta.
Violetta's on like her third paragraph. She's like, wait a minute. This doesn't seem right.
So what are you
Why
doing
do you
today?
Keep interrupting me? I'm trying to tell you something.
So anyway, I would like to be able to come to the phone, but there are a lot of reasons I probably couldn't come to the phone. Let me go through some of them. One, I could be doing my hair. Two. All right. I don't know. I want to know. I was just.
Roar, are you going to give out your phone number right now for all your critics
sure.
out there?
Yeah. Well, they can have it.
What's up, haters? Here's Roe's number.
Right. 312-981-7200.
Yeah. The station's text line.
Right.
The complaint
say
line.
Say whatever you want. All I wanted. Mm-hmm. I had a very, very simple request.
You're easy to please, Ro. Really, aren't you?
Very easy to please.
Really?
Easy. Oh, yeah.
Just kidding.
Sure. What? Wait, I'm not? What?
I don't know.
I think the little things bug you more than they really should.
You care too much.
Start there.
I don't know. Maybe you aren't easy to please. I don't know. Yeah, no, I'm not. Point here is, I just wanted to wake up this morning and not have anything goofy happen. That's all I was doing. I was tired. I want to wake up. When I woke up, and then all of a sudden, it was all like Mika Brzezinski this. Mika Brzezinski bleeding facelift.
Crazy
that.
And
first
psycho
of all,
and
can I ask you a question? Hmm. Do people bleed from their facelifts?
I would imagine.
Anybody know the answer
to
that question?
There's a lot of healing involved, isn't there?
Yeah, but I don't think there's bleeding. It's bruising, and you know you swell up, but I don't think there's bleeding. He likes to say that.
He likes to say blood. Yeah,
yeah. Blood.
He likes
fixated on that.
Yeah, it's hot with the blood.
Maggie Haberman, I believe it was one of the reporter who tweeted out a picture of what she looked like that night in question around New Year's Eve at Mar-a-Lago. She didn't have any blood around her head at all that was visible.
It's about the whole statement.
Yesterday we were examining whether or not Albert Almora was flicking off the president.
Yes.
Today we're examining whether or not people actually bleed from facelifts.
Right, whether Mika has a bloody face from a facelift.
Right.
Meanwhile, they're considering military options in North Korea. But that's right.
Huh, interesting.
There.
And what then he announced a new energy initiative, none of which was, in terms of what he explained they've already done, that he's already done? He hasn't done yet. And I'm like, okay, I'm fine. Just try for one moment to try to line up a fact with a statement. That was all I want. I don't mind that he's opening up energy. I don't care about the Keystone Pipeline. Fine. He wants to open up a bunch of 94% of the nation's lands are not available to exploration or drilling. Mm-hmm. And he goes, we're going to open all that up. I don't know how I feel about that. I'd like to see which ones they're going to choose. They're also going to go in the ocean for some other stuff. I'd like to see what they're doing there. But in the meantime, fine, go. I like energy independence like everybody else does. It's great. Nuclear, fine. Just don't have it near me. I don't care. Point is, at least tell us what you are doing, not what you just did that didn't happen. Which is exactly, he took credit for a bunch of stuff that didn't happen and said thousands of jobs were being created when like 20 are being created. I'm tired of it. It's exhausting. It and is. Now Mika Brzezinski, all I can think about in my head is her bleeding from stitches in her forehead.
Yeah.
Violetta?
Yes.
Your turn.
This week, Chicago's Best is scrambling up the best plates to start your day. Chicago's Best Breakfast, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
My bills are all due and the baby needs shoes and I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter of a pound, but I'm busted.
Yeah, that's the song that we're singing in Springfield right now.
The new state song.
Yeah, but it's to Illinois.
Make that amendment while we're at it.
Oh, my God. And CNN. These are gigantic stories that are around the country now. Wall Street Journal, CNN. Everybody doing a story about what happened to Illinois? What happened to Illinois?
It's like the obsession of the national media right now.
What? Really? I think they got a few other things.
No, but this is, why Wall Street Journal's most read article yesterday was this. Illinois's budget mess.
Mike Flannery, political editor. He's over at the Fox 32.
He understands.
But he's been everywhere. He's been in print. He's been on television. He's a very important individual.
He knows what's what.
All right. And I know that you, I'm told that you were quite passionate in the morning briefing meeting this morning over at the Fox, talking about what it was that was going to happen here.
Well, I answered the question that people stop me on the street and ask me, which is, why is this still going on? And the answer is very simple. It's because there are people on both sides who think it's to their political advantage to keep this going. The minute they don't see a political advantage, there will be a deal. It's that simple. There is not enough heat on them for whatever reason to make them think that it's politically advantageous to do a deal. They think it's better not to.
Yeah. How?
In the morning meeting, I can guess who your informant was. In the morning meeting, I compared Madigan and Rauner to the Slim Pickens character in Dr. Strangelove. You may remember.
Yes.
The B-52 is coming in over Moscow, and they open the Bombay doors, and the nuclear bomb is ready to go. But then it doesn't fall, and Slim Pickens climbs out on the bomb. He manually releases it, and he's falling straight down to the Kremlin, and he takes off his cowboy hat, and he's going to ride it all the way down. Woo-ha!
Yeah.
Yes.
But talk about some of those reasons why. What's the political advantage for the Democrats? What's the political advantage for the Republicans? What are you talking about?
Well, there? I mean, we've had the governor doing this for 2 years, and and then his allies at the Illinois Policy Institute and people on the street. I will tell you, some of my neighbors on the South Side, they think that Bruce Rauner was elected with a promise not to raise taxes. They were shocked and flabbergasted when last week he allowed House Leader Jim Durkin to say that he, Bruce Rauner, endorsed this 32% increase in the income tax, a temporary 4-year increase. People were stunned. He's going to pay a political price if he signs on to that. He's going to disillusion some of his most enthusiastic supporters. So you can just look at that. Is it better for Rauner to just ride this thing on down to the ground, and bet everything on winning the election in November of next year? Same for Mike Madigan. He doesn't seem real eager to be cutting a deal. He certainly is not going to go against his biggest source of campaign funds and workers,
what?
Which is the organized labor movement.
Right. Okay.
You know,
I'm going to stop you right. I'm sorry. I just have to stop you right there because I want to know why they are moving around the deck chairs while Rome is burning. Again, mm-hmm. I'm mixing metaphors.
If they're not
but
feeling
I
the
don't
heat
care.
Is what he's saying.
They
don't, know how they're not.
How? I mean, you're about to go off this credit cliff, essentially. Our bonds are going to go to junk status, which means that we're not going to get the kind of return on them that we need. The people who are going to buy them are not going to get the kind of return they want. So the return to us in terms of people buying them won't be occurring at the rate. We are paying usury rates for loans to be able to bridge things, whether it's in the city with the Chicago Public Schools or in the state. There are piles and piles and piles of unpaid bills. There are vendors who are taking care of the elderly and people in mental health. And I'm not just trying to be some lily-livered, liberal, like, nutbag mm-hmm. who's like, I can't believe the snail darter is in trouble. I'm not saying that. I'm saying literally your grandparents are going to get kicked off Medicaid because the state ain't going to be able to pay it and the federal government isn't going to be able to pay it. Imagine when, and there will be some sort of a health, you know, whether it's, you know, a redo of Obamacare or the repeal and replace, whatever it is. But Medicaid is going to get slashed one way or the other. And then it's going to go back to the states. That's what the president keeps saying. It's going to go back to the states where it should be. Well, when it comes back here, who the hell is going to pay it?
Yes.
Well, and that's just one piece of it. There is also the president of Southern Illinois University, Randy Dunn, said last night at a news conference in Springfield that, you know, he's gotten this letter from the accrediting agency, and all the state colleges and the community colleges, some of their programs may soon be stripped of accreditation. That means that the students registered there, if they have Pell grants, if they have federal student aid, that they're not going to be eligible for it. They're going to lose that student aid because the programs they're in are not accredited. Well, you know, and then on Saturday, I mean, already you can see the highway crews out on the roads are already shutting the projects down. There's going to be thousands of men and women thrown out of work as a result of the 700 highway projects being shut down. But, you know, what is it that, you know, the whatever is going on here in their own political bases, Rauner and Madigan are not feeling that it's better to do a deal than not do a deal. They still feel, each of them still feels, it's better not to do a deal.
And is that where you think we are now as we approach that Friday, what is it, the July 1st deadline?
Midnight tomorrow night
to try to reach this deal or else we go into the third July 1st without a budget.
Well, you tell me what changes between now and then. I mean, all this stuff has been known for months. You know, the credit agencies have said we're going to junk the highway road construction people have, and the labor unions have warned about the shutdowns. The you know, Chicago right. State University on the South Side has 36 freshmen enrolled for the fall. What? 36.
The word's gotten out, apparently.
All right, let me ask you a question. 36, so you can get in. You get it? Get it? Christine Redonio, the Republican leader of the Senate, quit today.
So that's the change.
Right. Tell us what that means.
As of tomorrow night. Well, you know, she was undercut. Remember, she was the one who was trying to do the grand bargain. The governor's allies at the Illinois Policy Institute were roasting her and ridiculing her in cartoons for trying to do the grand bargain, which included a tax, you know, one or more tax increases. They portrayed her in these cartoons as being a stooge of John Cullerton, the Chicago Democrat, as the Senate president. They had her seeming to polish a truckload of manure labeled grand bargain. You know, and then the governor pulled votes off the thing when she was ready to start voting, you know, with Cullerton for pieces of this thing. The governor ordered Senate Republicans not to go. So she was going to be the only Republican vote on some of this. So, you know, I understand she's had it.
Yeah.
And then there was talk of there might be a primary challenger. She's up in March in the primary. You know, she says that she never intended to run again. She had always had it in the back of her mind that she was going to go. And she said, you know, with the death of her daughter, who worked on Capitol Hill in D.C. a couple years ago, the sudden death of her daughter left her with the message, gee, you know, enjoy life while you can. Yeah. And so I think it's, you know, it's all part of that.
All right. Mike, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You bet, guys.
It did not make me feel in any way better. And then you threw a tragic twist in at the end. So thank you. Thank you so much. Now I don't have my Powerball and I'm sad and I've got and the state's going to get junk status and CNN's making fun of us. I mean, it couldn't be worse. All right. Thank you.
Well,
it could. I don't know.
Thank you a lot, guys.
I don't know.
Always.
Thank you. Bye.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're
the best.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever you say.
Thanks. I remember when rap was young. Susie had so much fun, holding hands and skimming stones. Had an old gold Chevy and a place of my own. But the biggest kick I ever got was doing a thing called the Crocodile Rock.
Hi, there she is, Susie Sunshine. She's a breath of fresh air for us, and an otherwise very... She's a ray of sunshine in an otherwise very sort of dreary environment here, because I don't know if you saw this. I know we're going to talk about some other things here, but did you see that the most read story you just had in Wall Street Journal yesterday?
It was Natasha Kareki, formerly of the Sun-Times, had it in her morning playbook. She said that in the Wall Street Journal, they said the most read story had to do with Illinois' budget crisis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Can you explain? I know I'm throwing a curveball at you because this wasn't what we were preparing for. And I'm also throwing a curveball at CLTV here. But can you explain when you get downgraded to junk status in your bonds, what does that really mean for the taxpayers of Illinois?
Well, it's a terrible situation for the Illinois taxpayers, because when you get downgraded to junk status, that means that basically you have bad credit. And so when you have bad credit and you go to take out a loan, then the worse your credit is, the more you're going to have to pay an interest rate to give some security. You're higher risk. So there's got to be some security and some return to the people providing the money to you for that higher risk. And going to a junk rating means that we are moving into what is deemed an at-risk level for any sort of bond issue the state would want to do. So it means ultimately, as the state pays higher interest, so it's higher cost of funds, the taxpayers then have to pay for that.
So you're basically paying something for nothing. It's just interest, extra interest.
That's exactly right. So you're just it just means that the cost of your loan just went up.
Right. And then if we all already owe all of this money. And so when they try to pay some of it by borrowing money, which they're then going to owe, they're going to owe more on the interest, too. So it's just you almost get into at some point a death spiral, right?
Well, you do, because your interest then and we talk about this and frequently we talk about it in terms of personal finance. When you have a credit card and you get overextended on your credit card and then the interest kicks in and it's, you know, 20%. And so you end up paying much more in interest than you ever do on what the actual item cost. And because you're still paying off that interest, it continues to compound. You can't ever get rid of it. And so you end up just paying off interest over and over, and you don't get to spend on anything tangible. Okay. You're just paying down the cost of your debt. And so that death spiral is when you've gone down this path for some time.
Which we have.
And which unfortunately, that is a predicament in the state of Illinois. And you can enter into this, you know, vicious cycle where you are in that death spiral where you have so much, you know, to pay because you have taken down these loans. Your loans have gotten more expensive. The interest rates have gone up. And so now I need to borrow more to be able to pay my loan. I need to borrow yet more to pay the interest on my loan. And now it's that spiral that's just very unhealthy and unfortunately very, very expensive for the taxpayers to ever recover from.
Right.
And the state of Illinois can't really declare bankruptcy. Technically
right.
Against the law. Now, you know, will they get some sort of relief or a federal bailout? I don't think, my guess is that there is no federal bailout for a state that didn't go for Trump. And I'm not trying to be funny there. I think that's really the way that's going to go.
That is very true, is that you would have to go and appeal at a federal level to get some sort of emergency funding, financial assistance, and it is highly unlikely, it's very unusual, and it's highly unlikely in a situation where, you know, Illinois has not been hit by a natural disaster. This is a situation and a circumstance that Illinois put itself into. And so it is very difficult to see how the federal government would step in, particularly, you know, if you don't have a lot of lawmakers pulling for you to try and get some exceptions made to have an unprecedented situation like that occur.
Right. All right. Let's go to one of the other stories that we were working on today. This is very interesting. The ripple effect has already begun from the potential merger here of Amazon and Whole Foods, affecting a Chicago company, right?
Yes. So this is very interesting. Blue Apron, which many of you may have heard about. I know, Ro, it doesn't sound to me like you cook an awful lot, but
I've used it before.
What are you talking about?
Thank you, Anna.
I cook all the time. I cook my own things.
Like, what do you cook?
Don't start.
You never talk about what we've cooked.
Don't start.
Be a cook.
I'm not.
This is not about me. For one.
Shh, let's turn around. Yeah, I did use it. And I liked it a lot. So they're creating competition.
It's a very nice service. So Blue Apron, you know, delivers a box to you, and it comes in that box. You have portioned out all the food items that you would need, a recipe. You cook dinner for yourself. And instead of having, you know, too much of cilantro or some strange thing, you have just enough to make your recipe. There's minimal waste in the fridge. It's this concept that's caught on. It's very popular. There's some, you know, competitors. Other people have popped up in the field. But Blue Apron is the leader in it, and it is the biggest company providing the service. Mm-hmm. So Blue Apron filed to go public. So it's a privately held company, and it wanted to do an initial public offering, an IPO. And when you do that, you go out and you approach the investment community and you talk about your business. The investment community takes a look at it and decides what your business might be worth. And the company then, you know, offers their shares to the market. So initial valuation happened prior to the announcement of Amazon acquiring Whole Foods. And Blue Apron went out to the investment community. And the investment community decided that based on potential growth and the future of Blue Apron, the shares were worth $15 to $17 per share. Then, 3 days later, we get the announcement of Whole Foods and Amazon, and now the company just went public yesterday. The company's per share price, the range, was offered at the initial offering $10 to $11. So quite a big difference there. That knocked $1 billion off of the total capitalization that was estimated for the company. They went from $3.2 billion, sort of its estimated value, down to about $2 billion.
Because there's a major competitor coming on into the marketplace? Is that what's happening here?
Well, it's concerning because really Blue Apron delivers food and great logistics, right? They get you this wonderful box that you're going to use for dinner that night.
Within this great window of time, like exactly right before dinner, then it's just perfect.
Perfect. So now suddenly we have a terrific player in logistics, Amazon, moving into that grocery segment. So now that Amazon has that foothold, potentially, assuming the Whole Foods merger goes through, then, again, we've talked about all the disruption concern to Target. It was concerned to Walmart. It was concerned to Kroger's. But here's yet another player that it's concerned to, because the idea and the possibility is, well, Amazon has the skills to do this now. There's really no barrier to entry. Could Amazon take over Blue Apron's market? And if you think about it, the customer that shops at Whole Foods is also many times the customer who would be using Blue Apron and experimenting with that.
Right. They're looking for fresh. They're looking for something unique and something that and to have fun cooking at home, which, by the way, I do.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to yell. I just, you know, it's been
You're
a very tense
you started there
48
today.
Hours. You know, I don't know what to do. Next thing you know, God knows what I'll wake up to tomorrow morning. That's all I'm going to say.
We haven't even touched the fact that the market seemed to be taking a doo-doo today. Like, there's a little bit of a correction there. Like, I'm using your technical term, Ro, that you've taught me about the market.
I like to say pooper. Like, taking a little poop. Yeah.
A little poop.
Yeah. What is there anything going on there that we need to know about, or is this just...
You know, I really don't think so. Remember, we had a big update yesterday. We're having a little bit of a settling today. We are right now, you know, we got okay earnings reports. We have the, you know, a few economic data points that are coming out. There's nothing really all that interesting until next week, July 7th. So next Friday, we have the June jobs report. That'll be a big area of interest. Tomorrow, we get the Michigan consumer confidence number coming out. That'll be kind of interesting. Next week, we also get minutes from the last Fed meeting released. And so that'll be interesting, and people will be watching that closely because they want to see, you know, Do the undercurrents and the undertone of the words that actually happened in the meeting match what Janet Yellen and other Fed governors have been saying the last couple of weeks? The market's basically settling. Remember that this is a very common week, as is next week, for people to take vacation. So you're almost seeing some set up pre-vacation, yeah, compounded by the fact that we are at month end and quarter end.
Okay.
So there's a lot of positioning and jockeying into that June 30th. Cut off.
Thank you very much. Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President, Portfolio Manager at Westwood in Dallas. Thank you so much. And thank you for making me feel better about the fact that I feel emboldened now to be able to tell everybody that I do enjoy cooking.
You should have everyone over for dinner.
I can't. I have that thing. I can't. All right. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right. There she goes. Mm-hmm. Hot and humid in Dallas today, we're told. Well, speaking of weather, we're going to talk to Tom Skilling coming your way in just a few minutes right here on 720 WGN. But first, Violetta Powder Medics got the WGN traffic trouble spots. Thank God some sanity is coming into this program. Tom Skilling is here.
Do I represent sanity?
You do.
You're in trouble. You're in trouble. If this is sanity,
I have no idea, Ty.
Is that right? It's kind of a crazy day,
wacky.
Huh?
Yeah. You didn't tweet something really nasty about anybody, did you? Did I?
No, and especially somebody who had some facial surgery.
You know what? I asked the question, Tom. I wanted to know the answer to this. Do you really bleed from a facelift? Who botches a facelift like that? The Haberman, what's her name?
Maggie
Haberman from the New York Times. She tweeted out a picture from New Year's Eve
of said evening in question.
Of said evening in question. Of said television news anchor in question.
Who probably was not bleeding, right?
No, she was stunning.
No signs.
Yeah, she was stunning.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, hello.
He seems to have something with people who bleed.
Yeah,
he's
got a thing with blood and women. I don't understand.
It would be interesting to hear an analysis of that.
I don't think so. I think it'd be frightening as hell.
Well, tell me something, guys. You guys missed out on the rain, right? Because, Ro, you live here in the city.
Yes, I didn't see any.
Boy.
It was cracks of lightning, little passing storms.
Yeah.
But it was kind of gusty and heavy for a while around midnight.
It was. And, you know, we've got some new ones banking up to the west of us, and these are respectable thunderstorms. We've got a little less shear in the atmosphere, and also the prospects of this organizing quite like those things did last night are not great. Having said that, a few of these could be active and produce downpours and, you know, somewhat gusty winds. But we shouldn't get this training that literally went on across the entire northern tier of counties up against the Wisconsin line and just north. They had over a month and a half's worth of rain inside of 2 hours up by Rockford. And they had water rescues going on from the Rockford area over to Belvedere. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty mean batch of storms last night, no question about it.
Friday, tomorrow, we're going to be in Lyle for the Eyes to the Skies
festival,
and it looks like the chances of rain has been kind of notched down a little bit gradually over the week. I've been watching your forecast.
Yeah, you know, Anna, there is a chance of thunderstorms. There'll be some roaming in the area, but there are going to be many dry hours in between them, and it ought to be a nice summer day. You're going to have temperatures in the low 80s, and there'll be moderate humidity, so it'll be pretty nice out there. Now, a couple of these little things in the afternoon might have to be watched. But the operative word there is a couple, and also they'll be scattered. So, right,
so
be okay.
Okay, so now here's see, here's our plan.
This is
okay.
the plan.
So, you know, they have like these tethered balloon rides.
Yeah.
Right? So,
are you guys going to go up?
Well, we're sending Violetta and Kevin in a tethered balloon.
I got to get up there, Tom.
Kevin, you do. And you got to keep your eye. You got to protect Violetta, although she seems pretty accomplished.
Sake, that kind of goes
she
the understand. Other way.
I know.
But, just don't let me blow away.
Yeah, I guess. Now, the question is... What I'm really looking forward to is sending them up into like kind of like the idea of that.
I wouldn't like that.
I would still do it.
You know, with
so
a,
would I.
This, it's like a Frankenstein kind of moment where you know, put a kite up there and you're trying to get the.
Hey, Kevin, hold this spatula.
You know, that may be the meanest thing, Ro, you've ever said.
I don't think
that's,
so.
That's something.
That's going to hit you on the ground while we're safe and sound up in the balloon, Ro.
Yeah, that's how it works,
that's what
right?
Because
you
you're not grounded. Yeah. So.
Well, okay. I'll tell you one thing. You're not going to have a highly organized wind tomorrow. It looks like a variable wind regime, so it's a good day to launch a...
Launch a balloon?
Balloon, yeah.
Sweet.
And you know, that is really quite an experience. We did that one time, did a story on that.
Mm-hmm.
Pam Grimes, my producer and I, and we, it was fun. We drifted over a golf course, and we were talking to people putting on the greens and all as we flew over. And other people were in their backyards doing barbecues, and you flew over that and had a chance.
Because you're
to,
super quiet, right? Is it? That's the
it
key
is.
To it.
You know, those flames are noisy. The things that generate the flames that generates the heat. Yeah.
It's okay. So, we were planning on putting those out anyway.
Oh.
We don't want an exposed flame. It might be dangerous.
But, you know, the problem is the secret to buoyancy is the heat they produce.
How fast would we descend, Tom, if we put that flame out?
I suppose it depends on the balloon. I don't have a good answer for you, Kevin.
Only one way to find out.
Yeah.
Okay, turn it back on. We're almost about to hit the ground.
If we're coming in hot, guys, I don't know. Put the cushion down for us.
One thing, Violetta will not be doing any skydiving out of that.
Not intentionally, no.
We're not planning on it right now, but, you know, when that flame goes out, Tom, we may have to... Call an audible.
Yeah.
When
Violetta
shows up with a parachute, you should be worried.
Right. And only one.
Like, what? Where's mine?
Oh, so it's going to be nice. Because so 3 days ago, this is not your forecast, but on Tuesday, we were looking at this because we had to make some programming decisions.
Yeah, you were mentioning it was 100%. You know, Ro.
How could somebody call 100% chance
of
precipitation 4 days
ahead? Not 4 days ahead. I mean, you know, just you know, the probability system builds in the distance into the future you're looking. And there's an added uncertainty as you get farther and farther out. So you would not put 100% chance of rain out of day four. You know, a lot of this stuff we get on our phones is garbage. I mean, these day part forecasts and all, they're raw computer stuff out of somebody's model somewhere. And the stuff isn't very good, quite frankly. And I'm always amazed because, you know, we have so many digital platforms, and heaven knows where some of these are getting their forecasts from. They don't emanate from us, I know, here in this office, but... You made a very cogent observation. You wouldn't have 100% chance of rain predicted 3 days ahead.
Right. I think everything else is like 20% here, and then Friday, one row, 100% chance it's going to rain on you in Lyle.
You know, it's kind of like,
and it's not possible.
Absolutely.
Then now you're, and now Tom, one day out, the most respected meteorologist in the Midwest, if not the nation, says, a few passing thunderstorms, perhaps.
You know
what?
Aerial coverage could get up to 50% of the area at some point tomorrow, perhaps in the afternoon and evening, but that means the other 50% is not getting
it. Yeah, it won't hit us.
And there'll be periods where there's not even that kind of coverage going on. So, no, keep your eye on these little pop-up thunderstorms that go on tomorrow, but... I think you got yourselves a nice day.
So get us ahead now. Let's take us through the weekend here.
Yeah, the weekend looks good. There'll be a modest drop in humidity. Probably won't even be noticeable. And temperatures a few degrees lower Saturday, but eminently comfortable. 78, then the humidity's back a little Sunday afternoon. And we kind of float in that moderate range Monday, Tuesday. There'll be a lot of sun, some cottony clouds mixed in just to make the sky interesting Sunday, and maybe a nighttime thunderstorm. Monday, most hours dry, might be an isolated thunderstorm, and on the 4th, on Tuesday, could be scattered thunderstorms, but again, many dry hours. So it's a real typical summer pattern, and 82 is our expectation on the 4th.
All right.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I saw your social media post on Facebook. You talked about the beach erosion.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
And the picture, the side-by-side of... over by, what is it?
Ardmore Beach.
Ardmore Beach.
Yeah, yeah. That's the Incredible. That's the beach right on the north end of Lakeshore Drive.
7 years apart, those two photos, and dramatic differences.
Dramatic. You know, they're, it's amazing. My roommate and my colleague here, Sean Lewis, came into me with his laptop, and he said, hey, I'd forgotten I'd taken this picture back a couple of years ago. And I said, you know what you got to do, Sean, is take a picture now and compare the two. Mm-hmm. And it really is amazing. The lake is up, it's like 14 inches above normal, the normal level. It's up 4 inches in the last month and 3 inches higher than it was at this time a year ago. And people have been writing and commenting to me on social media that the lake seems higher this year. And it is. And you really see the difference in how much beach we've lost because of the higher lake levels.
And you added the factoid that I thought was interesting there. An inch of water.
Right.
Every inch represents 380 billion gallons
of water.
Water.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Oh, my God.
When Lake Michigan rises 1 inch, you have added to Lake Michigan 380 billion gallons of water. And
okay,
that's pretty cool, isn't it?
3 inches from last year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Think
so
about that.
Do the math.
Where are we getting
that
from? From rain?
Yeah. The precipitation pattern has been very active. Yeah, this is the product of...
And cloudiness, too, because the sun would evaporate the water, right?
Right, exactly. But, you know, this is largely a precipitation-driven thing. The basin that drains into the Great Lakes is quite extensive. You know, it's interesting, though, the rain that falls here in northeast Illinois, virtually none of it goes into the lake except the stuff falling right into the lake on the shoreline because the Illinois River takes the water the other way, and so the drainage goes toward the Mississippi here. But up in Wisconsin, the rain that falls there drains into Lake Michigan as it does over in Michigan, comes westward into Lake Michigan, too. So northeast Illinois, when we have these mammoth rains, a lot of this stuff doesn't go into the lake.
Hey, let me, because I'm old enough to remember. Mm-hmm. Back in my day.
Back in your day, old-timey guy.
Yeah, old-timey guy, so yeah. Much like Coach Fox. But anyway.
Sure.
I've seen the lake, you know, go up and go down. The way I used to always gauge it was when you're driving on Lakeshore Drive, and between North Avenue and Fullerton, there's pylons in the water.
Yep.
And you could see the pylons. If you could see the pylons,
right,
then the lake level was low. If you didn't see them, it was higher. They were drifting over or whatever, or how much a pylon you could see. And so I've seen this thing really fluctuate my whole life.
It's true. There's a cyclicality to it. And if you plot out the lake levels, there's almost a sine wave quality to the graph you come up with. In other words, there's a little ridge, and then it dips, and then it ridge. The problem is there isn't any regularity to the dips and ridges, so you can't use that as a forecast technique. Hmm. But there are regular cycles in the length in the lake level. You know, in the mid-'80s, we had record high lake levels. I mean, it was so bad. I remember I live up on Sheridan Road, and we'd get a north-northeast wind. The water was breaking over the seawalls there and going out into Sheridan Road and coming up on Lakeshore Drive at times. And then it dropped, and a couple years ago we were at record lows. Now we're back up above the average in lake levels. And it's good because I was getting pictures a couple of years ago from Door County where the dock would go out and there was no water there. You had to go out a couple hundred yards beyond that to get to water. And if you owned a boat, you know, you'd have a heck of a time.
But not the problem now.
It's not now. In fact, there's actually we've had some erosion problems because of the higher lake levels now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is true. I mean, that especially up the further you go, I mean, just north of you, up Sheridan Road, you get up near by Evanston. I mean, I had a friend who lived in these little, like, I don't know, townhouses, these, like little low level deals, right at the Evanston border, and I mean, he would have ice dams covering his front door.
Oh yeah,
you know, it was like it would be almost impossible to get in. It was crazy.
Well, you know, the Bob Newhart high rise is up there, the one that they show on the intro to the Bob Newhart show. It's up by Thorndale and
Sheridan.
And the Corps of Engineers had to come in and put that big wall of boulders out there because every time we had a northeast wind, folks on the first floor of that building were inundated with water. I mean, the waves were crashing up under their porches. So it's good it dropped from that level, but it's come back kind of halfway between that and where we were at record lows a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I am I've learned a lot. You've calmed me because now I'm talking about waves.
Yeah.
I can sit and think about waves.
Sand,
lapping.
Beaches.
It's true. Just the sound of waves, isn't it? It's peaceful, isn't it?
Gosh,
I love it. Right now, this is what I need, Tom.
Yeah.
I've driven myself completely insane.
We've got to get you one of those white noise machines.
I have it.
I have
one,
actually. A baby sound machine that I no longer use that has lots of wave sounds. And
you know what, though?
The only thing I don't have is something that's replicating the sound of a jungle canopy. It's the only thing in my house that I haven't. I've, like, recreated. I've got, like, fake sun in my house. I've got like, the wave machine going. Uh-huh. I have in my bedroom, I've got a gigantic picture of a still lake.
Oh,
that's
you know,
cool.
That's sort of that's just soothing. Trying to create. Because this is the kind of crap I need to do.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I've got this since November.
I know.
Right? Because it's like, I'm doing everything to keep myself calm.
Absolutely.
Get yourself centered again.
Yeah.
Remember the movie Soylent Green where
know.
You cashed it in at the end. They put you in this room, this lovely room. And at that point, the world was overpopulated and ugly and polluted.
Yeah.
And so in your last hours on Earth, they allowed you to go into the room like that. So it sounds like that's
about what I'm doing. It's
kind
of what I'm doing. It's sort of like, to me, now I realize what I've done here because I've got a very sort of sleek, stark, modernist thing going on right now.
Yeah,
and
sounds great.
It's cold and sterile. I get complaints that there's no comfortable place to sit in the place.
Oh,
that's
right.
Intentional.
Yeah, it's intentional, really, because I don't want anybody staying.
Get going.
The only place that's comfortable is my bed. Get out. Anyway, the point is that it's like the last scene from 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Where it's very impressionist. You're not quite sure what's going on.
Right.
But it's a guy by himself, mm-hmm. who we think is the astronaut.
Right.
He's by himself and he's eating and it's in this stark white, like very sterile space.
Right.
And he's by himself.
And it is calming.
It's really calming.
It is.
And that's how I just imagine myself.
Hey, it beats medications to do it.
Hey.
You know, if you can do it.
Well, I didn't say I'm not doing that too, Tom.
The combo is also effective.
I see. So we have both chemotherapy and...
Yeah, I got a little chemical therapy going on there. Don't worry about it. I got
photographic therapy.
Yeah, what's happening? All right, thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Guys, have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, thanks,
Tom.
Bye, Anna.
The great Tom Skilling right there. Violetta Pademetics got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
And then there's this, how recognizing trauma and getting help to those who need it most can stop the cycle of violence. Violence, the new plague, a medical watch report tonight on WGN TV News at 9.
All right. So we got the green light for tomorrow for the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival. By the way, we're going to be out there as part of the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate, Chicago's Own Good Hands. Come on out. It's an amazing event because it's over a large space. It's really visually stimulating. There's a carnival for the kids. There's balloon rides. There's all kinds of really cool stuff going on out there. Nightly fireworks. And now this year they're going to have skydiving events as well. People can watch skydivers.
Great.
You want to do that? WGNradio.com/events has all the details. We're there from 3 to 7 tomorrow.
Going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. And 100% of the proceeds go to charity.
How about that?
Local charities, so that's really, really great. Mm-hmm. Judy Pilak standing by with the WGN News in, well, let's call it 2 minutes. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be in Lyle.
Yes, we will.
The whole show's going out there, including Judy, so look out.
Balloon rides, all kinds of fun stuff.
Warn all the arresting officers who might attempt to pull her over that will not end well for you. Important thing
we'll
to note
see about
there.
That.
Yes, I'm just saying that, right? All right.
Don't look her in the eyes.
Don't look her in the eyes. And don't ask her for any kind of identification. Just let her go.
License?
So
what?
Yeah.
Insurance card? I don't think so.
That's the way that's going to go.
She has her own laws.
It's all part of the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate. All right. Here, look who's in the studio with us right now. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is.
And he's one of our favorites. Now officially friend of the show, Mr. Ferguson Jenkins, who is going to be in Chicago. Let me get I like to do this right at the very top because it calms everybody down.
Yeah.
He is going to be in Chicago for two major events. He has one tomorrow from 7 to 9 p.m. Chicagoland Sports Cards and Memorabilia Show in Buffalo Grove. He'll be signing autographs there. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, he's going to be at Bricks and Ivy Sports in Hoopston. That is near Kankakee, Hoopston, Illinois, and that's from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all that stuff is at FergieJenkins.ca, not .com, .ca, as in Canada.
And everyone
Fergie is from.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about that. You're a former hockey player.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Yes. I mean, that's a thing.
No one knew.
To me, when you were here a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, whatever it was, when we were talking about this, about you know how you started in hockey, it just was it's so amazing to me how many people, you know, because when you start in that sport, obviously you're from Canada, so everybody starts it. You got skates when you're like 6 months old, right? Before you could walk.
I was four.
Yeah.
Really? Four.
Right? So it's like, that's the way that goes. But it is amazing to me how many people, you know, can transition from that sport, you know, to other great things. Because how old were you when you picked up a baseball and started throwing it?
I was nine.
Nine?
And I didn't start to pitch until I was 16.
See, now that's an amazing thing.
I was a tall kid growing up, lanky. I was a first baseman. And the area scout that came living in my hometown came to a hockey arena, and I'm 15 years old, and I just got into a fight and had a misconduct. And he said, why are you so violent? I said, well, I'm a defenseman. I mean, that's the way hockey is. Mm-hmm. He said, what are you doing in the summer? I said, well, I'm a first baseman. So he watched me throw in the infield, and he said, have you ever tried to pitch? I said, no. We have pitchers on our team. 3 years later, I signed a pro contract with the Phillies.
Oh my gosh. That's the amazing piece. So you went from throwing, first time you actually pitched, got on the mound and, you know, had
16 years old
and, you know, had to learn what you were doing. And then to 3 years later, being in the pros, I still,
it's remarkable.
It boggles my mind.
Mm. Well, you know, I worked at it. The area scout had me throwing every Tuesday and Thursday night. He'd pick me up at my house and we'd go to a local gymnasium and I would throw. And it seemed to come pretty natural.
What was the thing that clicked for you there? What was the one mechanic that just came easily to you that created that
talent? I had great control. I could throw the ball. We put badminton standards up, and we put strings across it and made it into a square.
Yeah.
I could hit it 9 out of 10 times.
Wow.
Jeez. Ferger, you ever have a catcher call you out for being too slow to the plate?
No.
Like Miguel Montero?
you made some news today on that,
by the way. Yeah, that's really incredible. I think Miguel was embarrassed because of the fact that he couldn't throw the runners out. And Arrieta is a little slow. And I don't know why he didn't throw over a lot more times to keep the runners closer. But that's just a situation. It's really too bad.
You think the Cubs did the right thing there?
No, you don't need to release a player. But you can't basically, I think, chastise another player and your fellow teammate, your buddy, in the newspaper.
It's not a way to air the grievances.
No, you're right. I mean, it's just something. A lot of players will negotiate contracts in the paper. Sure, that happens all the time. But don't get on your teammate. You're with this individual for well over 8 months in a regular season.
So
from spring training to the season. You got to talk to him after the game or mention to him after the first time he does it in the dugout.
Mm-hmm. Montero seemed to be, though, and I think this is an indication of the fact that they've released him now on this. We're looking at the tip of the iceberg there. It seems that there were some issues in the locker room. He didn't seem to be as playful as the other guys around him. I mean, one of the things they've instilled here in that team is this notion of sort of devil may care. It's a style of management. Do you happen to think that management style works?
Well, it does. I mean, the clubhouse is where it all starts. Guys could all get together. And you know each other. You back up each other because you're part of a family. Willie Stargell started all that back in the 60s.
And the 70s. We Are Family, right? The whole thing in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So now you transfer all that happy meetings or whatever you call it from the dressing room to the field. And you play hard together. You try to win. But there's sometimes that guys are moody. So it's going to happen. You know, Glenn Becker.
Now, let me ask you, okay, go ahead.
Glenn Becker, my best man. Yeah. Oh, man, he was moody from time to time. He roomed with Ron Santo, though.
Yes.
That's probably a reason. He had dry humor.
Yeah.
And he was just uncanny with a lot of different things.
But I'm sure in your many years in the major leagues, there were guys in the locker room that you're like, you just wish that guy didn't show up every day, right? I mean, is there one in every locker room?
No, you know, there could be. My times with the Cubs, we had guys that loved to play day baseball, and that's what most of my career was, day baseball.
Yeah.
As a coach, I came back here and we played some night games. But we had lively guys. We had Jimmy Stewart on the team. We had Jay Johnstone. We had Joe Pepitone. We had
Jose Cardinal.
We had some guys that were a little crazy.
Yeah.
They were from the You don't know where they came from. And then I went to Boston. We had Bill Lee.
Yes, right. Oh, man. Right, spaceman, yeah, right? Yeah,
totally. But, I mean, the locker room is where guys cut up. And later on I came back, Ryan Sandberg was a cut-up. He used to fire guys up with alcohol and matches on their shoes. So, but that's what the locker room's all about. That's where it all starts.
That's a beautiful thing.
That. So what do you make of this Cubs year? They're 500 right now. If you could put your finger on one thing, what would you put it on? This
pitching.
Year? Pitching, yeah.
They have not pitched well.
What are you doing? They're coming back to Chicago next week. You stick around? You want to get
I leave Saturday.
No, damn it.
No, I think the number one thing, there's a few guys that are not throwing as well. You know, you just look at the press.
Right,
look
sure.
at the news.
Look at the numbers. Yeah.
And then you got Hendricks, who has got arthritis in his hand. The guy wins the ERA title last year. Now he's got arthritis in his hand. Well, I don't know what that's all about. You know, I never had a sore arm, knock on wood. You know, Lester is not pitching well. You know, Arrieta.
Right.
The bullpen is so-so. I just think that starting staff is not the staff that was last year. So you try to duplicate. Everybody wants to be consistent. But I've told lots of people in the last couple of months, the Cubs have a target on their back. Everybody wants to beat you.
Well, isn't another part of the problem is that they're overbooked. I firmly believe this, that these guys, because they are the world champions after 107 years, these guys, if they're playing a night game, they've got commitments during the day. If they've got a day game, they've got commitments at night.
They had to watch Dancing with the Stars to see, you know, Grandpa Rossi for every Monday night.
And that, I think that cost a few games. I'm not going to lie to you. But it seems like they're tired. They had a very short offseason. The commitments of championships, and this is why it's very hard in the modern era where, you know, the money is to be made. You got to make the money make hay while the sun's shining, right?
Definitely.
And this is their opportunity to do that. I don't blame them for booking themselves like they are, but that takes a toll.
Oh, it does. I mean, you have to have your priorities. And by far, the number one priority is to win playing baseball at Wrigley Field or on the road. But you can only have so many opportunities in the off season. So they probably book a lot of appearances, but not now. During the championship season, I don't think that's done as well. The ball club would probably frown on that unless they're doing it on their own.
Yeah.
But these guys are out to play. As I said, the pitching hasn't been the same. And they got to step it up. They got over 80 games left. In that division, they're only a game back. So who knows what's going to happen?
That's really true. I mean, the only problem there is, and the only problem really is that the wild card is going to be insane this year. They're not even going to sniff at it, you know, unless they go on a crazy tear. So they got to win the division. So they just got to stay in position for that. And then, like you said, once the playoffs start, anything can happen.
Sure, definitely.
And these guys can get hot. I mean, you have some of the most amazing talent.
Oh, they got great hitting, great defense, and the pitching was the best of all baseball last year.
Let's talk about Kyle Schwarber for a second. Here's a guy who was like, you know, a heralded hero. You know, the wounded hero who comes back and all that. And then he has the lowest batting average of any starter in the major leagues, gets shipped back down to Iowa, sent back down to the AAA. What does that do for a guy? Because he took it really well. He's like, hey, look at my numbers. I got to go.
Sure. Well, the morale part of what he was going through and the self-confidence, maybe he lost a little bit of that particular situation. You know, hitting like pitching is all about confidence, how well you perform on the field. You put that uniform on, you're ready to play. And if you don't do well, now you're 0 for 4, 0 for 8, 0 for 12. I mean, and after a while, you start guessing. And then you start not believing in yourself. Maybe trip to the minor leagues might be the good thing.
So
Who knows?
The mental part of it rather than the physical.
Oh, sure, definitely. He was taking pitches, call strike threes, and swinging over pitches, balls he generally hits.
Yeah.
So the mental aspect of the game.
How does it help you to go down to Iowa, do you think?
Help you. No, you got to get hungry again.
Oh, because it's a little more Spartan down there.
Sure.
And so you got this idea
totally.
Of like.
Totally. You're seeing guys that are called up in your spot. And you say to yourself, man, hey, I got to get back. Yeah. I got to start proving to myself and the organization that I am what they signed. I'm a major league player. I'm not a minor league player. So you got to get that into your mind.
But those crowds, though, I mean, I
no crowds. Believe me, there's no crowds at AAA.
The people look up, but they want to see a guy. But when Schwarber comes up to bat, they're very excited to have him there, right?
You know, in Des Moines, they might draw 4,000 or 5,000 people. It's not like 35,000 field in Wrigley right. Field or on the road, St. Louis, New York. But I just think the confidence end of him putting the ball in play and then starting to really put some power behind it is going to get him back up here.
Mm. I like to hear that.
From an expert. And we can't ask a better. You know, it's a, this is one of the great pleasures of being able to do this is to have, when you ask a guy, when we get to ask somebody, they really know what they're talking about.
Yes.
Because Fergie Jenkins knows what he's talking about. What was your, you know, I want to go back to being that 16-year-old in Canada, learning how to pitch. In the indoor, in the gym, right, where, did they build a mound for you that was?
No, I threw on flat, on the flat, on the flat surface, where just a hardwood floor. But I was, basically, I got to the gym. You run, and then lob, throw, and back to 60 feet, 6 inches, and just try to throw a three-quarter right there.
What was
there,
the
right
first
there.
Time you like you learned how to move the ball left to right or right to left? What was it?
When I seen the ball jump out of my hand at 16, it just jumped out of your hand. And then when I was outside, I ended up pitching some pretty good ball games that first year. I had a no-hitter, 7-8 no-hitter, a couple of one-hitters. We won an OBA championship. Mm-hmm. I won like 8 or 9 ball games. The other times I played first base. The next year we duplicated. Went to juvenile ball. We started winning again. As a 17-year-old, I'm playing a senior baseball against guys who are 25, 26 in my hometown or on the road and getting them out. I knew I had something.
So what was your first game in the majors?
Remember that moment? 1965, I beat Bob Gibson in relief, and I was with the Phillies. I relieved Jim Bunning in the 7th inning.
Talk about that moment, walking out onto the field for the first time in Major League
Baseball. I don't remember walking out. I mean, I wasn't mesmerized. I'd been warming up in the bullpen. Bobby Otis was the bullpen supervisor or the bullpen catcher.
Okay. Was it in Philly?
Yeah, in Philadelphia, in Connie Mack Stadium.
Yeah.
I get out to the mound. Gene Mauch hands me the ball after he'd taken it from Jim Bunning. He says, "Show me what you can do, kid," like that.
Wow,
I pitched 4 innings of relief, won a ballgame.
Wow. Mm. Wow. All right, the great Fergie Jenkins. If you would like to meet him, you'd like to get an autograph, and who the hell wouldn't? You can see him tomorrow at the Chicagoland Sports Cards Memorabilia Show in Buffalo Grove. He's going to be there from 7 to 9 p.m. And then on Saturday in Hoopston at Bricks and Ivy Sports. So if you're in the South Suburbs, down near Kankakee, Hoopston, you can see him there. All the details, that's from 11 to 1, by the way, on Saturday. All the details are at FergieJenkins.ca. Fergie, thanks so much for being with us.
Pleasure being here, guys.
Good
pleasure.
Seeing you.
And right now, all right. Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
Because we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a statue of liberty started shaking her fist.
Oh,
and an eagle will fly.
There you go.
Like the whole wide world is raining down on you.
Love me some Toby Keith every once in a while.
Why are we playing that? Is there something that, just because we felt like it?
Well, I think there's a good reason we could replay that. We remember Israel Del Toro, American hero, we had
yes.
on the show this week. He is going to be awarded the Pat Tillman Award for Service Humanitarian Award at the ESPYs, July 12th. Local guy from the Aurora area. And was severely wounded in Afghanistan, has had like 120 surgeries. He's battled back. He's going to participate in the Warrior Games here in Chicago, and he's a stud.
He he said something that was just absolutely amazing when he was here a couple of days ago. You know, he's been he's re-entered service. Mm-hmm. He's the first ever
100% American service person disabled.
Right, 100% combat disabled to come back to active duty. And not only is he active duty, he's part of the United States Air Force parachute demonstration team mm-hmm. that works out of Colorado Springs out of the academy. He teaches cadets, mm-hmm. air cadets, how to jump out of airplanes, which is, you know, to air cadets, that's the last thing they want to do is jump out of the airplane. But he teaches them how to do that. He teaches and he performs in these air shows. And it is, it's an amazing story. And he thinks to himself, you know, every time he's out there doing it, he's giving the middle finger to those members of the Taliban who wanted to end his life, that were unsuccessful in ending his life with an IED.
He revealed that on the show when we were just on this week. And I thought that was so fascinating to hear him say that.
But yet he doesn't have a middle finger because of what they did. So he's got his hands.
A figurative middle finger.
So to me, I mean, that is like the bravest thing in the world right there. Right, to say I'm going to give it, I don't have a middle finger, but if I did,
yes,
I'd be giving it to
it's
them
up.
As I am jumping out of this airplane. So God bless DT, man. That is that's very, very, very great.
Love that guy.
So congratulations to him and to his whole family and to his family in the Air Force that that you know saw him through all of that.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, you know what it's time for, don't you?
It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Hey, speaking of the Top 5 at 5, today we're treating this, starting right now at 5 o'clock, like a weekend. But we know a lot of people are leaving for their long weekend on Thursday, so we're treating this as a Friday. Carnival Wagon's going to roll at 6 o'clock.
Huge.
Great news.
Just letting you know. Checking in at
number 5.
Oh, a lot of reaction from Democrats and Republicans to the president's tweet storm this morning. You know, you wake up, you just never know what you're going to get.
You just don't. And this was a doozy.
He went after, by now you've probably heard this, but if you haven't, he went after MSNBC's Mika Brzezinski, along with Joe Scarborough, who have criticized the president on the Morning Joe program. Now, he goes after her in a way that just was just weird. And by the way, when he goes after the media, and I know we're sensitive because we're in the media and all that, and it drives us nuts, and I think a lot of people enjoy the fact that it drives us nuts. Mm-hmm. But it was, this one was a weird deal. Right, because
no question. It was perhaps a new low. I mean, it just, gosh, why? Why do you do that? Is that making America great again?
No. And he went after her for he claimed that they hate him, and yet they wanted to be with him at the White House, or I'm sorry, at Mar-a-Lago over New Year's Eve, and he wouldn't let them in because her face was bloodied from plastic surgery.
Which none of it makes any sense. There are pictures of the two of them in some kind of New Year's celebration that night. So they did get in at some point.
So despite the criticism of both, I mean, you've had Ben Sasse, the Republican from Nebraska, is like, you just got to stop it. You just have to stop it.
It's so true.
Stop tweeting. And Fox News just put out a poll right now that says that 71% of Americans think that his tweets are getting in the way of his agenda. When is he going to learn? Will he learn? Why doesn't he learn? What's he doing?
Well, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, if you listen to what she had to say today, she responded, fire with fire.
I guess it's kind of like we're living in the twilight zone. They do this day after day after day, and then the president responds and defends himself, and everybody is appalled and blown away. Frankly, if this had happened in the previous administration, the type of attacks launched on this program, the things they say, utterly stupid, personality disorder, mentally ill, constant personal attacks, calling multiple members liars, liars to their faces while they're sitting on their programs, the rest of the media would have said, guys, no way, hold on. But nobody does that. But the president, he's not going to step back.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So that means it's okay to do it?
So the president of the United States feels that he needs to attack on a visceral and a personal level. Mm-hmm. The morning anchor. I know people are saying, well, they attack him personally. Not really. I mean, if they're calling him unhinged, there might be some evidence for it. Right. And there are things that he has done that have not been smart, that have been stupid. Right. I mean, every president does it. But he, in this particular case, this is not your standard operating procedure for presidents of the United States.
No.
The president, he is inhabiting an office that is owned by the American people, mm-hmm. right? This is about the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And so we anticipate a certain kind of decorum while in the office, just a little bit.
Sure. I mean, you've seen bipartisan support for saying that this is wrong and beneath the dignity of the office. And it's true.
But Sarah Huckabee Sanders, now the hardest working woman in show business, continues on.
This particular tweet was beneath the dignity of the office. Where does the president draw that line on the dignity of the office?
This is from Fox News.
Look, I think that he shows that every day in the decisions that he's making, the focus and the priorities he's laid out in his agenda. But he's not going to sit back and be attacked by the liberal media, Hollywood elites, and when they hit him, he's going to hit back.
By the way, Jeff Scarborough is a Republican congressman.
Mm-hmm. Very critical of the president, though, lately, in the last year, I suppose.
Yes,
after
but
those pictures were taken when they were talking to each other.
But a conservative. He is not yes. the Hollywood agenda. Joe Scarborough, again, a Republican.
Mm-hmm. I think I've been pretty clear that when the president gets hit, he's going to hit back harder, which is what he did here today.
Doesn't he have to meet a higher standard than cable news anchors? Sarah, doesn't he have to meet a higher standard than cable news anchors?
Look, I don't think you can expect someone to be personally attacked day after day, minute by minute, and sit back. Look, the American people elected a fighter. They didn't elect somebody to sit back and do nothing. They knew what they were getting when they voted for Donald Trump, and he won overwhelmingly.
That's a line that they use a lot. He won overwhelmingly, which in an electoral college vote, that is correct. But that is not what it was in terms of the nation. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not. And I think that they have to be sensitive to that, that this isn't like he's got 80% approval ratings. Right now, he has the lowest approval ratings of any president in his position since they've been doing this. At this juncture, in his first half a year.
And even some of his strongest supporters are saying that they don't like this picking fights on Twitter thing. I mean, come on.
And he told us he was going to be boring.
Well, he's not. Well, thank God he's not. Because it really has been helpful.
Helpful
even
to what?
Failing CNN. To the ratings. Yeah. He's getting great ratings. He's getting television ratings and radio ratings. It's certainly not. But people, I mean, again, Fox News Channel poll today says 71% of Americans would like him to stop tweeting. 71.
I'd like to hear the rationale from the 29.
Just because it's fun.
Number four.
All right. So with all this attention about the president's tweet this morning about the bleeding facelift of Mika Brzezinski, and all the outrage that has come from it, the president was at a speech today. He was in a scheduled event in which he was. This is Energy Week. Did you know that?
Yeah.
This is Energy Week, and this was the end of his Energy Week events. And he was speaking to a bunch of energy executives, and he had all the cameras in the room. And
Americans were told that our nation could only solve this energy crisis by imposing draconian restrictions on energy production. But we now know that was all a big, beautiful myth. It was fake. Don't we love that term, fake? What we've learned about fake over the last little while. Fake news. CNN, fake. Whoops, the camera just went off. Okay, you can come back. I won't say. I promise I won't say anything more about you. I see that red light go off. I say, whoa.
Okay, he does that at all the things. Of course, CNN ran that, you know, from stem to stern. They're not going to turn off the camera if he starts talking badly about them. Mm-hmm. I don't know who amongst those people in that room who were smart executives would believe that they would do that, but he does it. But he likes to think that people aren't as... Either he's not or he believes people are not as smart as we are. Right? I mean, everybody, it's a very standard thing. Mm-hmm. He is, and he just wanted to go down that road. Yeah, CNN made a mistake on their website and then fired three people over it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what does happen in the world of journalism.
Mm-hmm.
The people who really do their job. And this is the thing that I think that gets the media so crazy is because there are real checks and balances in our industry and real real prices to pay for misinformation. But not in his world. And that's the thing that's, I think, you know, drives a lot of people nuts, including me. Mm-hmm. And why is he doing what he's doing? How about the Mika Brzezinski?
I don't know. I can't help you there.
But to go personally, I mean, I think the problem here is, you know, forget about whether it's a person in the media and you hate the people in the media or whatever it is. He's going after an individual American. He's the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that doesn't give some pause to everybody who's a citizen of the United States, stop and think he would go after an individual. Right? He goes after people on Twitter all the time, his critics on Twitter. And those are average Americans, you know. Those are people who are just, you know, going to their jobs every day and have a Twitter account. I mean, and people can take, in the media, we can take it if you do whatever you can do, as long as you know, don't go after them personally using law enforcement. I suppose I suppose that's the line, but it just doesn't seem like it's dignified, and it doesn't instill me with confidence that the president is fully in control of his anger, right, in control of his emotions, which I think should be concerning to everyone. Sure. Maybe he just wants us to believe that. Maybe he is totally just wants us to believe it. That's the only hope I have at this moment. I have to pretend in my head that that's the case.
Mm-hmm. When you're considering military options in North Korea, I think it's important you sort of have your head straight.
I hope so. All right.
We'll get to your 3-2-1. But first, Violetta's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
And then there's this. Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia. Exclusive books. So much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today.
All right. Get on that.
Yep.
Get right on that. All right. Top 5-5 continues right here on 720 WGN. Checking in at
number 3.
Battle of the Network Stars is back on ABC. What's old is new again. Oh. Can't help themselves, can they? This time around, UFC champ Ronda Rousey is one of the team captains. Remember her?
Sure.
She's the one that got her keister kicked?
Yeah. Didn't like seeing that, but yes.
Yeah. She said it was very hard getting the celebrities to check their vanity at the door.
They don't want to look foolish. They don't want to let their makeup to spill. They don't want the hair wet. And I think it's a great relief to actually take that worry away. And so I kind of feel like that's one formative thing that we could do during this day that we have with these people, is to have them let go of that weight on them, that weight of perception. And everyone seems to be much happier for it by the end of the day.
Okay.
She's a coach on that show? Is that what's her
She's
role?
A team captain.
Team captain.
Team captain. I don't think you're going to want to. She's in a bad mood, and she's got lightning fast hands.
Watch
I don't
out.
Think you, don't get in her way.
Bad. Number 2.
Hey, the Foo Fighters are back. Ooh. Got a new album, Concrete and Gold. Dave Grohl and company have revealed that their 9th album will be released on September 15th. It's got some big rock and music royalty behind it right now. Concrete and Gold has been described as a mix of hard rock extremes meeting pop.
Wake up. Run for your life with me. Wake up. Run for your life with me.
Kind of a poppy sort of production value to it, yet it's Dave Grohl, and Dave Grohl just likes to pound on the tom-tom.
It's great.
All right, that will be that. And that must mean that there's a tour coming too.
I think they just announced some tour dates, but I did not see Chicago on the list for their USA tour.
Not yet. I think that
maybe. Yeah. No.
Those who fight foo must come to Chicago because there's plenty of foo here to fight. And finally,
number 1.
Minnesota Timberwolves introduced Jimmy Butler today.
I don't like this.
Did everyone text him and say, sorry to see you go?
Because he did give out his phone number today to all of his critics. He did say there's no animosity between he and his former teammates.
I don't have any bad things to say about anybody in that organization, in that city. They took the chance on a kid from Tomball who didn't know where he belonged. But now, this new chapter, this new era, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, what about his critics, though?
Somebody's got to take the blame. I'll be that guy. I'm okay with it. I'm fine. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. But with that being said, my phone's in my back pocket right now. If whoever has anything to say to me, feel free. 773-899-6071. So if you want to interview, there you have it. Please do.
It was his real number, right? It wasn't like a 555 number.
No.
It was a real number.
No, it was awesome. It was awesome.
And he was taking calls from fans, apparently.
God bless.
Kevin pointed out he's on his private jet.
Yeah.
FaceTiming.
I'm missing him already.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect.
A lot of bad and losing.
Well, you know, the thing is, if you look at the team, I mean, I think Jimmy Butler was, they should have built around him. It was always my contention. Once Derrick Rose was gone, this was the guy you build, or, you know, that's, he's going to be something. And now Tom Thibodeau, that's right, is going to be building around him up in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I kind of, well, actually, he's a puzzle piece that probably fits perfectly for them. But I really do believe that the Bulls had an opportunity here, and it has been squandered, so they're going to start from scratch. And they do have, there is, I like their draft choice, actually. And even though it's, you know, you got years here before those kinds of things kick in, at least two seasons. But I don't know.
They have a clear direction now. I'll give them
right,
that.
And they do have, it's back to the drawing board. I mean, they'll be lucky to be 500 this year, but I think there might be some skill there. But then again, the NBA has totally changed. You got to have 16 or 17 All-Stars on your roster
right.
at any given time.
Exactly.
So, yeah. You know, one day LeBron's going to retire. I don't know when it's going to be.
But then someone else have a chance to get to the finals?
And then there's going to have to be, you know. And then, and you know, they're in the East. They got to get, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the West, because between Oklahoma City and those people in the Golden State, at least there's something. That's all I'm going to say. I miss Jimmy Buckets.
I know.
Go
I'm
going to
call him on his phone right now.
Miss you, Jimmy.
All right. Let's just close this thing up, shall we? I want to. The weekend has begun.
The top five at five.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Yes, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis's News or Ruse.
Yay, favorite game of
and
all time.
Richard Roper is our celebrity today.
Nah. You love this game, don't you,
like,
Richard?
It's like when the Cubs are doing the seventh inning stretch and they just have one of their announcers do it because the other guy didn't show up who was supposed to be there.
That's exactly what happened.
The cast of some vampire show got caught in traffic.
Yep. That's exactly
Pull him into the booth.
Exactly what's happening right now.
And I like you, Richard, so I'm so sorry to have to beat you.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Oh, Judy, at least
I haven't won
you.
In a while, so I am out for blood.
Kiss. Uh-oh.
Oh, did I say blood?
Watch out with those tweets. Careful
popular.
With those tweets.
Richard, just recently have a facelift and you're bleeding from it?
I'm going to tell a story about how Judy tried to get, not to Mar-a-Lago, but to the Batman Lego movie. And I wouldn't let her anywhere near me.
And I said, no.
No.
They were at Mar-a-Lago. I remember this whole story. They were at Mar-a-Lago. And they were like, hey, you know, can we, let's spend, they actually did have a conversation with him at Mar-a-Lago that night.
Yeah, there are pictures of that. Because they got a lot of criticism for that.
Right, exactly.
For, like, sucking up to the POTUS elect, right?
You're saying you were partying with them, and then, you know.
How do you cover them when you party with them?
Scarborough was on the record saying, no, we weren't partying. We were in casual clothes. We weren't part of the black tie. We left.
You're bleeding out of your eyeballs.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, bleeding.
There's no evidence, like a Walking Dead-like blood coming out of her face.
No, they ran a picture. The New York Times ran
she
a picture for, from that night. She was, yeah.
It was
yeah.
Beautiful.
And that was when, that's before everybody knew that Joe and Mika were, you know.
Together.
Horizontal hoodling each other.
Oh, gosh.
You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying? That? Yeah, whatever. All right, we got to play News or Ruse.
Yes,
good
please.
Time to
so we
got to
do.
I'm excited.
Winners are getting two adult and two child admissions to the Sycamore Speedway this 2017 race season. Hmm. The whole season.
Oh, wow. Fun.
Great. That's pretty great. Visit SycamoreSpeedway.com. And then, how about this? $25 Paisanos gift card. Paisanos Coast to Coast is here. Ship Paisanos Thin Crust, Deep Dish, and Gluten-Free Pizza anywhere in the United States. Order at PaisanosChicago.com. And the runners-up are getting a pair of tickets to My Son the Waiter, A Jewish Tragedy, playing at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts at Skokie. It's a hit comedy about a man's lengthy struggle to make it as an actor in New York. Get tickets at MySonTheWaiter.com.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's worked out. All right. Things always work out.
All right.
All right. As my father just recently said to me, why can't you do something with your
life? Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
He was on you.
Yes, he was on me. He was on me about that. All right. I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm just going to have to think you're really going to make a living in show business. I go, yeah. 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 No, I really kind of do. All right, here are the contestants. Let's get to this here. John and Judy. John's playing with Judy. Matt is playing with Violetta, and Jana is playing with Rich.
Jana, okay. Yeah.
John, how do you feel about this? You feel pretty confident?
Oh, I'm with Judy. Are you kidding? Of course.
I know.
I love you, John.
She's actually
right now. She does.
She's sort of like the Cubs. She's she seems better than she actually is. Wow. Is how that's working right now. That's all I'm saying.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right.
She's got a winning record, though.
Well, let's start with you. We'll start with you guys, John and Judy. Here's your first headline. Proposed ban of releasing balloons angers Balloon Council.
No.
That's
Judy,
a dumb headline.
A balloon council.
Yeah, right?
I don't remember seeing anything closely resembling that.
All right.
I'm going to say ruse. I'm going to go with ruse.
I'm going to go with John.
Oh,
damn it, John.
There's apparently a balloon council in New Jersey. There's a balloon lobby in New Jersey, believe it or not. I know. Don't worry about it.
They give me the hard ones because they want me to lose.
Matt and Violetta. Matt and Violetta. Matt, are you there?
I'm here.
Here's your headline.
Wasp attack on Florida golfer leads authorities to meth jackpot. That's a great one.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Matthew.
It sounds like it could be possible.
Yeah, let's go news.
Yes.
Dang
Whoa.
It! Our headline writer is pretty good.
That was a good one with the Florida touch too. Was well played.
Yeah,
there.
All thrown in there.
I would have lost. I would not have there.
Jana and Rich, here is your headline: first time homebuyer stunned to discover new backyard isn't his.
Oh no.
I just don't understand the headline at all, so I'm going to say ruse.
Okay, I'm with you. Ruse. I knew that was
wow.
We've ever had that happen.
No, I was thinking the same thing.
Everybody
strike out.
Zippity-doo-dah wow. On the first round. First-time homebuyer stunned to discover his new backyard isn't his. Right? It's not actually his backyard.
Oh, it was a big fenced backyard that he was looking forward to enjoying, not his.
Yeah. Oh.
Somebody
bad.
Else's property.
All right, on to round two. Let's see if we can try this this way.
Run John and Judy, right?
Yep.
Here's the headline. Gunman kidnaps family, forces them to shop at Target.
Ugh, it's the worst.
I love Target.
I'm kidding.
Target.
Not being kidnapped, though.
I was being facetious.
Just answer the question,
let's
Judy.
Go with that one.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, let's go with that
news?
One, Judy.
News?
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like news.
Yeah, it's
all
easy.
Right, we're not
Come
done
on.
Discussing it. News.
Yep.
You got it.
Take that.
You don't get two
Take
for that, by
Richard.
The way. It's still
Jeez.
Just one.
That's
all
so
right,
easy.
Here we go.
So
Matt
easy.
And Violetta, here is your headline. Pet squirrel that foiled Idaho home burglary returns to wild.
That's great. Oh boy!
I love squirrels.
I think that might be news.
All right, I'm going news.
There you go.
Yes.
Easy one.
Of course, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Richard.
That story is nuts.
It is nuts.
Oh,
I see. What
that was
right.
A low beer.
That was a really great one. All right, Jana and Rich. Here's the headline for you guys: man who binged on ice feared dead after attempting to have sex with crocodile. Oh my word!
No, Ruse.
Didn't say Florida.
Ruse. They would know whether or not he was dead. They wouldn't just fear he's dead. Ruse.
Jana.
Ruse.
Oh, we're the worst.
Ooh. How is that possible?
No, you're the worst. She
yeah.
bullied her into
easy.
That.
It was so easy, Richard.
Who wrote a headline saying feared dead? How would you not know?
A man who binged on ice feared dead after attempting to have sex with crocodile.
Well, he's missing is the bottom line there.
Oh. Then that headline writer should be fired. Feared dead.
Oh, all right, here
goes
is.
Goes missing.
Oh,
here
is
the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots with the lovely Violetta Podramatic. I don't know who Violetta is, but she's here too. News or Roos continues right here on 720 WGN Chicago. Richard Roper is our celebrity today.
Yeah.
Because our other celebrity couldn't make it. But this is the but Richard Roper is going to be reviewing your weekend movies coming up.
Sure.
And a special rollout of the Carnival Wagon as well.
Nice.
The Big Sick, The Beguiled, which looks very creepy.
It does.
And he would be reviewing the new Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler comedy.
Yes, but.
But something happened, which is very, quite controversial.
Scandal.
I had a prep for News or Ruse. That was a waste of time. I should have. No, we'll explain later what happened.
Yes. Oh, wait till you hear this. This is a pretty good story. All right. That's all coming your way in the 6 o'clock hour. But back to News or Ruse right now. Mm. We're in round three. Right now, Jana and Rich have got to get one right to stay in it.
Yeah, we're looking at it this way. We're only one down so far.
That's one way of looking at it, Jana.
Come on,
all right, it's the Orion Samuelson round. Here is your headline.
Man unleashes bedbugs at city office after not qualifying for benefits.
Is that ours? Is that Josh?
This is for? Yeah.
That is for Jana and Rich.
Man unleashes bedbugs. I think this is news.
I would believe it, absolutely.
I think this is news.
News.
Thank you, Jana. Wow. I remember that. It was horrible for that poor clerk to. What is that? You know, who's there working the desk that day?
This is that you stayed in it to win it. But
right
now, John and Judy could eliminate you if they get this one right.
What?
Here you go. Here's your headline, John and Judy.
Spokane Craigslist ad seeks generic father figure for backyard barbecue.
Father figure.
Judy, that's true. I think that's true.
All right. I think so, too. News.
And they eliminate. Yeah,
I remember that story. I'm
so sorry.
And don't you, I like Orion's take on Craigslist.
Craigslist.
And wouldn't Orion be the guy that you would hire for that?
Yes.
Wait, that's the guy. Would you want Orion to be in your backyard barbecue?
For a Father's
that's
Day barbecue?
Perfect. Yep.
Yes.
All right. And all right. So Matt and Violetta, you got to get this right to stay in it.
Okay.
Here is your headline.
Alligators native to Florida have developed an immunity to marijuana, a study finds.
So, what do you think, Violetta?
I think it's a ruse. I think they're throwing us off with the Florida. And
yeah, I
also,
think it's the second time we have Florida here.
Yeah. So what do you want to say?
I would agree. I would say ruse.
Ruse.
You got it.
All right.
Way good. To sniff
all right.
it out.
It's the lightning round. John and Judy, here is your headline. A lucky 2% of people have a gene for stink-free armpits.
Science. True.
Wow.
What do you think, Judy?
Are you a scientist, John?
No, but I play one on television, right?
Mm.
No.
Yes, news or ruse, lightning round.
What do you think?
What part of lightning? He says true.
Means
fast.
Go that.
All right, true.
You got it,
there
Matt.
You go.
And
I don't stink.
Violetta, here you go. Man with history of deviant sex acts with vegetables sentenced to life in prison.
News or ruse?
Let's go ruse.
Ruse.
Oh! And Judy wins!
Nicely done.
Oh. Lives up to the taunting.
Oh, I hate when they live up to the taunting.
I know. It's
that had to be news. If not, you were going to have to let somebody go from the staff for coming up with that.
I know, right. Speaking of deviance.
Who thought of that? Exactly.
Who is the author of that one? Right.
All right. All right. Well, congratulations. This is. Let me just tell you what everybody won right here. This is very, very great news for our winner, John.
It's fantastic.
He gets
congrats,
two adult and
John.
Two child general admission seats to Sycamore Speedway for 2017 entire race season. Visit SycamoreSpeedway.com. Plus a $25 gift card to Paisano's Coast to Coast.
Excellent.
It's here. Pizza.
Thank you.
That's all you need right there. And then the runners up get a pair of tickets to My Son the Waiter, A Jewish Tragedy, which is currently in its hit run at North Shore Center for Performing Arts in Skokie. And my son, thewaiter.com, is where you get tickets for that. All right, here we go. Huh. We have got now. You know what? We got a couple of seconds here that I should mention. Mm-hmm. Coming up, the Carnarvon Wagon is going to roll because it is Thursday, yet it's a Friday to most of America. You're taking the long weekend. Mm-hmm. So people are getting away. They're hitting the road. And we figure, you know, what better way to kick off the weekend? And then tomorrow we are going to be live in Lisle for the Eyes to the Skies Festival.
Yep.
It is a 100% volunteer, 100% to charity event. They raise close to $1 million a year doing this. You are going to enjoy balloon rides, carnival, nightly fireworks, music, food, and skydivers, and so much more.
Crafts, kids' activities. Whatever you can't have fun there. Yeah, you got a problem.
You can't have fun.
No,
you can't have
impossible.
Fun. And we're going to send up Kevin and Violetta in a tethered balloon ride, and then cut the tether.
We had a good run.
This was the point here, right? We at some point both of your parents have to cut the tether, and this is how we're going to do it.
Oh, it's
figuratively
and
literally.
I like that.
Cutting the cord.
We're going to cut the cord tomorrow. And it's all part of the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, presented by Allstate Chicago's Own Good Hands.
I'm going to bring a slab of ribs up there. I was checking out the food.
No, you're not.
Great. Yeah. We're going to bring a slab of ribs, a couple drinks, maybe some stuffed cabbage rolls.
Ask your mom to pack a bib.
A smorgasbord up there in the balloon.
Yeah. Huh. I think you're really going to enjoy
it. Can we bring a bathroom? Because I'm going to need one.
You can see this is going to go
God.
Can't you?
Can we make a pit stop?
Everybody turn the other way!
At the balloon.
You're making me nervous. Stop listening.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's going to go great.
Yeah, it's going to go great. I think we must now ask, what could possibly go wrong? Come out tomorrow. We'll be there from 3 to 7. Or tune in for sure. Because who knows what's going to happen. All right. Coming up, we got a great Carnarvon Wagon rollout. And then Richard Roper is going to stay with us. And he's going to review The Big Sick, which has got some Chicago connections to
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And The Beguiled, which has...
Super creepy.
It's a creepy town. And then why is it that he will not be able to review the new movie by Will Ferrell?
Amy Poehler.
That intrigues me. I'm like, what's going on?
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here?
Great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it, I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
In like 1.5 minutes after he gave out his phone number, his
what
real
happened
one.
There? All right, Carnarvon Wagon rolling on a Thursday because, well, it's like a getaway day for the long weekend, the 4th of July weekend. And then we're also going to be in Lisle tomorrow at Eyes to the Skies, and they told us we can't drink on the air. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
Huh. Or in the air. In some cases.
In the balloons, right.
No, we can drink in the air, right?
Oh, geez.
And the Carnarvon Wagon is being brought to you by It's Just Lunch. How about that? Think about that for just a second. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect combination right there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a great downtown spot with us.
We do.
It's a spot. Hubbard Inn, and Chris Bader is with us. And Hubbard Inn is one of those places that in the most competitive bar district maybe in America, I would say, right now, on Hubbard Street, and has had a very, very, very great run here. What has it been, 5 years, 6 years?
It will be 4 years since
our group owns Hubbard in.
Yeah.
It's 7 years aesthetically since the building's been there.
I got it right in the middle there.
The street just keeps getting crazier by the week.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. A lot of competition in there. And you guys have done a great job. So congratulations to you. Congratulations. Now, all right. So now I noticed. I got to start with this. Mm-hmm.
Can't overlook that.
I don't know how to get past this. There's a gigantic Moscow mule here that's the size of a pumpkin, yes. Essentially, it's a
amazing
copper mug, yes. But it's pumpkin size. Right? The pumpkin is that the best?
I would say, picture this, an actual mule could drink out of that.
Put his whole face in there.
An actual mule.
And it's got like 12 straws coming out of it.
Yes.
And I'm a bit of a germaphobe, except when it comes to alcohol and
yeah.
Nuptials.
The other thing, yeah.
Yeah, the other thing. Yes. Somehow I forget all about that.
I know.
And this this looks... what happens there, Chris? Who does that?
Well, I have to say it's for groups because you can't come and drink it by yourself. I mean, you can, but it's dangerous. You're not allowed to.
You're not allowed
to. It's against
to.
The law. Mm-hmm. We don't break the laws. But... You come in a group and you ask for, you know, what would be our monster mule.
The monster mule.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you can order that. Hubbard Inn is based off of groups coming and dining out. Like, we're one of those River North spots where we have high top tables.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of groups of like 8 to 12 people. We want the party, in a sense, to come with keeping, you know... we want to keep it friendly too for people who want to come on dates, because we do have that our front section, which is more low tops and areas for mm-hmm. you know, people who want to just not be a part of the party. So we have a little bit of both. But that monster mule is what you'll see at happy hour.
And what does the monster mule go for? I have to ask.
It's for $30 right now.
And how many people do you have to have in order to enjoy?
You have
that
to have
giant...
at least 6 people.
Okay.
That's the best.
I was expecting
you to
say, at least twice that. Honestly, I was figuring probably 60 to 75 for that, just looking at it. That's a bargain.
It is a bargain.
How many ounces are in there?
It's,
a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. I think it's over 60 ounces.
It's a minimum of 6 people to order it.
You're paying, I mean, like on the street that you're on, some places you're paying $15-$17 for a martini.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right?
No question.
I mean, per
that's
ounce,
a deal.
That's the biggest deal. That's, you know, you can put that in your diesel engine too, and it's about
goodness.
The same.
When you take the show out, Ro, we'll have to imbibe on that.
Yeah,
that's
that thing happened. I'm not
my 7-year-old parents are having a barbecue on Sunday, and they asked me to bring four of them.
That's
make
great.
Them.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a great bit.
But my dad wants to put Chevis in one of them, so I don't want to stick
goodness.
Around for that barbecue.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Watch out.
That's his favorite drink.
Answering the question, how'd you get into the business, Chris? We now know. Look at that. That's a work of art.
I worked in a lot of the bars in University of Illinois in Champaign. That's where I went to school.
Oh, okay.
And
Thank
you. Can you name any of them? The ones that are you allowed to
name? Can I name? Oh, yeah.
Cams? Do you
work
at Cams?
I didn't work at Cams. I worked at C.O. Daniels on the Clybourne.
Been there.
A place that was called Station. Now it's the Red Lion. Mm-hmm. And it was a bar group. It was the Cochran Bar Group. They're still there. And
to get a plug too. That's good.
No relation to Steve Cochran, but yes.
Yes, I worked there, and you know, it was 19 to work in the bars there, and it still is.
Mm-hmm.
They fought for that ordinance because, and I believe in it because you need extra money when you're in college.
Oh, yeah.
And
great way to pick up cash.
I learned everything in business from working in those bars.
That's
and
really
being
true.
In a fraternity and being a good student. I wasn't a good student, but
you met some.
You learned
some
everything
good
about business
a lot of good,
being in
a
fraternity. I've never heard anybody say
Illinois.
That.
It's the best cheating school in the country.
I'm sorry. Say
cheating
again.
School?
Not for athletics, but I meant what? Like there's a lot of smart kids you could cheat off.
Oh, cheat off. Oh, excellent. Good point. I understand. So you sit next to them where you're like, hey, you know that paper you did last year?
Mm-hmm.
Do you still have that?
I got that lying around.
Although now they've got all kinds of software. The professors are on it because now you're emailing your assignments in, and they've got software that scans it for, you know. Mm-hmm.
But now they're making the software too. So
to avoid the software.
The young kids that are 18 years old are making their own software. So now you don't know who has a better. It's hard to keep up.
If you're making that kind of software that's going to rewrite your history paper, you probably should be not in college at that point. You should probably be working for the NSA.
You'd probably be okay just studying the
it's
history.
It's happening. Yeah. Facebook's taking kids who are like 16 years old now.
Really?
We're not. We're not at Hubbard Inn. We want you to be 21 years old.
Again, this is about the
skill set.
This is about the rules.
Yes.
You're such a stickler for the laws. I don't seem to understand. All right. So let's just explain a few of these. So you get your Moscow Mule. I got to try this. I'm not trying to get out of the big one yet. But I just figure that when the lights go out here after the show's over, look out. This is going to be just one bacchanalia.
What are you trying first, the mule?
I'm trying the mule. The mule's
start
excellent.
Start with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a typical mule, ginger beer, lime, vodka, and a little bit of bitter.
Is that also what's happening in the big mule?
That's correct.
The monster mule?
You won't find as much vodka, but we don't water down the drinks, but there's a lot of ice, a lot of crushed ice.
Nice.
Because you have to keep it cold, because if the whole thing melts, you know, you have a warm mule. Yeah. Nobody likes a warm mule.
No, nobody does.
Mm-mm.
You want to keep your mules cool.
John Wayne used to say that on the sets of the old westerns. Nobody likes a warm mule.
You know, but a totally cold mule, very bad.
Neither, El Chapo also used to say that.
Mules have to stay warm. Yeah. I mean, cold.
Cold. That's what
Cool. Well, the good thing, at least you don't have to worry about people trying to steal the monster mule, because everybody's always trying to walk out with these lovely mugs.
Yeah, what do you do? Because this has got to be an expensive item right here.
It is, and you would be surprised.
People
we
do?
We do not serve that after 11 p.m.
Because people try to put it in their purse?
Or in their pants? Purse, under their shirt. I'm
my
like,
gosh.
And we have a nice security team there, and they're just like, you know what, sir, can you lift up your shirt? You know,
I can't believe people try to walk off with that.
Well, there's a lot of things in River North people try to walk off
with. Yeah,
that's
true.
That is just obnoxious.
This chandelier is amazing.
I know, right? It's about the size of one.
Right. That's what I like to look
at. We had to take IDs in the beginning for the
wow.
We had the little Tito's. I think Tito's Vodka has the best copper cups or the best copper mugs, and we took IDs in the beginning because there were, and I hate to generalize, but it was mostly women who loved putting
it
in their purse and taking it.
They're the worst.
Maybe we were taking it for someone else because we have a purse.
Sure.
Does that justify it more?
Yeah,
wait,
now
Violetta just admitted to, I think, a felony right there. Not sure what she just did, but I'm gonna go with Chris here, and I know I hate to get, you know, I don't want to be, you know, labeled as an ist of any sort of sort.
Okay,
but I'm just gonna say this: I have noticed that when it does come to the stealing of barware, that I believe that women, especially hot women, consider themselves to be more entitled to the barware than the guys.
I knew a woman who stocked her entire kitchen. She wouldn't even steal. She would just ask, and she could get away with that. So take this?
Are you saying hot women are entitled in general, or just hot women are entitled for barware?
Are we talking about the restaurant?
We're talking about the mugs. I'm going to make this very specific to the copper mugs. I think that hot women feel entitled to them. That's all.
Okay. I agree.
We do hear from all the restaurateurs who come in that they go pretty quickly. Those Moscow Mule. The copper mugs.
It's the greatest thing that's ever happened. I think for vodka companies, for mules, it's the greatest
really
thing.
Yeah.
Not really for like mules, the animal, but for...
I think it's good for the mules, too, because they're getting good publicity out of
true,
it.
And they
I think the
don't.
Animal's really enjoying this. They're having a resurgence. As a maybe the pet mule that'll be around now, maybe a mini mule. Someone will be breeding a mule with you know, some sort of a cockapoo or some sort of deal. What do they do now?
Well, it's the first positive association when you think about it, because usually when you say someone's a mule, they're either stubborn or they're trying to transport something that they shouldn't be transporting in a place they shouldn't have been putting it. Those are your two mules if you look it up in your Google there. A mule.
That's an excellent
point. El Chapo.
The idea is to make like more and more over the top drinks that just keep coming back, where the large format. And we were in a marketing meeting. This guy was next. My idea, because you have the large mule, and then I said, what if we had an actual mule, like a copper mule, and you could drink out of the end of the mule? And nobody went for that.
Nobody liked that.
Now, if you bred a mule with a poodle, like they're doing for every other dog, you could get a moodle, and you could be able to drink out of that.
Geez.
Oh,
jeez. Do you see what I'm doing there?
My goodness.
What's in this drink?
I don't know.
What else we have here?
I think I've been poisoned.
A moodle.
What is the... all right, now there's one that's coffee and bourbon or something like that. What is this one?
There's an old fashioned. It's a little bit of orange, bitter, sugar, and whiskey.
Okay. Oh, that's very good.
Now we're talking more grown up.
Yeah,
this is the grown ups now.
Right.
We have a lot of classic drinks there, so that's one of our classic drinks. Is, you know, your typical old fashioned. Yes.
This is Don Draper, classic,
exactly
good
thinking.
Stuff.
Yeah. What's the bourbon of choice there?
I personally, you know, I do a spin on it, and I like to put Templeton Rye whiskey in it.
Oh.
That's my choice.
See, now that's good. The Rye Manhattan, I think, is the way to go. That's
love it on the rocks, though.
Yes.
I can't have it in the, because they put it in that glass, like a more of a martini glass with no rocks, and I always say Manhattan on the rocks.
If you can get a Manhattan, though, that is shaken for like an hour and a half, and you get the skim ice on that, on the top of the Manhattan, there's nothing. There's nothing better
really?
Than that.
All right.
Yeah. Now, can you ask the bartender to extra shake? You can do that, right?
Yeah, of course. Our bartenders are very accommodating. Servers are accommodating. We will accommodate, you know, anything. If you have a food allergy, or if you, of course, if you have food allergy, but if you have like an alcohol allergy, like you're allergic to large format mules, they'll make a small mule for you.
An alcohol allergy. That might be my problem, actually. I'm not quite sure. It certainly feels like it the next morning.
I have the opposite of that problem.
All right. Stay right there, Chris. We'll come right back. Hubbard Inn is here, and they are doing the Carnarvon Wagon with us today. I know it's a Thursday. Like, well, Carnarvon Wagon, well, we have to do it on a Thursday because we're not going to be able to do it tomorrow on a Friday, and I'm not going to not do it.
No. Great way to start the weekend on a Thursday.
This is the 21st year of the Carnarvon Wagon. The Carnarvon Wagon is finally old enough to drink.
Happy birthday, Carnarvon.
How about that?
Wagon. Good place to go. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Special Thursday rollout of the Carnarvon Wagon. Hubbard Inn is with us. Chris Bader is proprietor there. Mm-hmm. Hubbard Inn is 110 West Hubbard in Chicago. Between Clark and LaSalle, right? Do I have that correct, Chris?
Correct. Absolutely correct. Sounds like you've been there.
I did. I might have been there. I don't recall. But I might have been there.
We don't have any brats, but we do have other things that you'll like. Like I brought some shrimp cocktail, crab legs, turkey burger sliders.
The turkey burger sliders are awesome, by the way.
Yes.
If you want to go down
had those Saturday.
The turkey burger really route. Because the turkey burger, that can go either way.
Yeah.
It can go either way.
What do you mean either
you
way?
You love the idea of it, but then sometimes a turkey burger just doesn't. It's like it. They haven't figured
tangy?
That. No. The turkey burger sometimes comes out. Like cardboard and not like turkey. And you have figured it out. There's something in your mix right there. I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna start working it. I reverse engineer.
People say you have the best happy hour. So what's going on there? You've got these seafood platters and things like that going on.
We had something that really caught about 3 years ago. It was our Raw Bar happy hour. So you can go there, you can get it's from 3 to 7. So you can go there during the week.
Make sure you're listening to us on the app while you're there, by the way, even though it directly conflicts with this program. Go ahead.
And you could go there. You can get $1 tiger shrimp, $1 oysters, $2 crab legs. And we also have scallop crudo as well. There is nothing like it. There's no like drink minimum or anything like that. And it's the space itself, like aesthetically, is more like a inviting Hemingway-esque type space when we built it. So it's a very inviting space. It's a great happy hour space.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Right. That's elevating your game from some of the places around the corner that just sweep yesterday's pretzels off the floor for happy hour. You know, so this is the real deal here.
You have to.
Those places. River North's getting
nicer and nicer, so you kind of just have
which
to.
Is great
except
to see.
For one place. But why would we talk about place, that? Why would we mention them?
I like that place that you're mentioning, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
We all do.
Sure we do.
You go there?
I've been there.
You go there.
I'm not allowed in there anymore because I own a plaid shirt. I'm not allowed. All right. Chris, thanks very much, man. Appreciate it. You're the jam, as the kids like to say. Hubbard Inn is 110 West Hubbard Street in Chicago, and they've done the Carnarvon Wagon for us today. Multi-level tavern featuring European-inspired small plates, quintessential mid-century cocktails, and old-world decor. I like the mid-century cocktail. It's the kind of place that Hemingway would like to get stoked at. So I think that's an important thing.
Thank you.
It's a great space.
Yeah,
it
really is. All right, we've got Judy Pilak standing by with the WGN News, and then Richard Roper is going to tell us, actually, the best story of, he's got the big reviews of the movies over the weekend for the big blockbuster weekend, but he also is going to tell us a great story about why Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler won't let him see his movie, their movie.
Yes, that is true.
We'll tell you about that, but first.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. My name's Kumail.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, we saw you perform.
Now that the niceties are out of the way, I have to tell you that when you yelled at me, it really threw me off, and you really shouldn't heckle comedians. It's so rude.
I didn't heckle you. I just woohooed you. It was supportive.
Okay, that's a common misconception.
Uh-huh.
But yelling anything at a comedian is considered heckling. Heckling doesn't have to be negative.
So if I yelled out, like, you're amazing in bed, that'd be a heckle?
Yeah, it would be an accurate heckle.
Cool.
Wow.
Goodbye.
Oh. Now you can.
I'm going. You scare my friend off now.
Very interesting. That's the big sick. Richard Roper's here to review on our Thursday that's really more like a Friday.
Yes, it is.
And Richard Roper Review is brought to you by Archidec of Chicagoland.com.
And we thank him for that.
All right.
right. Let us now talk about that. The Big Sick. Now, that's a big Chicago connection here. Right?
Yeah, let's talk about the Big Sick. That is Kumail Nanjiani, who has been a stand-up comic and Comedy Central, et cetera, for, you know, a good 10 years at least. And what's really intriguing about The Big Sick is he wrote that with his wife, Emily, and it is based on their real-life relationship here in Chicago about 10 years ago. He plays himself in the movie, and an actress by the name of Zoe Kazan plays his wife, Emily.
She was the mom in the Big My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Who was?
Zoe.
Wasn't
no.
She was not. She's like 24. That would have been a very, very...
Is it her mother?
You're going to have to return to...
That would have been a very different... That would be a really different romance.
Who am I thinking of? The mom in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. I thought it was... Come on. No?
It's a woman who's been... Yeah, she's been around forever. All right. She's 70 years old. Not Ellie Kazan. It's somebody else. You know.
All right, I'm sorry. That was the exact same name. Laney
Kazan.
This
would be a very, very different movie if it was about his romance with a 70-year-old Greek woman.
All right. Right. Totally different.
By the way, a Jewish woman.
I don't know. How I'm going to pivot to her being in a coma in this movie is really going to be interesting.
But that's the worst thing. This is the pivot of the... It's a comedy and...
I'm going to hit the reset button. Okay, so Kumail Nanjiani, stand-up comic, and his wife, at the time, girlfriend Emily. So he, 10 years ago, we'll give you the real story first. About 10 years ago, he's working as a stand-up comic here in Chicago, living in Lakeview, hitting all the clubs like you see a million comics do. She was a grad student at the University of Chicago, and just as you heard in that clip there, she had gone to see him play at a comedy club. And they met, and they started dating. And he comes from a very traditional Pakistani family. In fact, born in Pakistan, came over here as a teenager, so his family, still very, very traditional, and wanted to arrange a marriage for him, because that's how his parents and grandparents and grandparents' parents all have gotten together. So while he was dealing with that, and he met this very cute Caucasian woman from the East Coast, he couldn't even tell his parents that he was dating her. They embark on a kind of classic romantic comedy adventure in the movie and in real life. And then she has a strange kind of viral infection, and they bring her to the hospital. And just before that, he had decided to break up with her without knowing she was sick. Now they have to put her in a medically induced coma. So now she's in the coma. So that's the Big Sick. Her parents are now visiting from North Carolina because their daughter's in a coma.
Yeah.
And his parents don't even know that he has a girlfriend. So there's a lot going on there. Her parents are played, Emily's parents are played by Ray Romano and Holly Hunter, who are so good in this movie, playing the exact kind of characters you would think. Ray Romano's kind of playing the hangdog, you know, slightly passive-aggressive dad, and Holly Hunter's the feisty little mom. You can imagine what she's like in the hospital if her daughter's not getting the best care. And they're just great together. Everybody's terrific in this film. So it starts off as kind of a classic romantic comedy where there's the cultural differences and the courtships and the breakups and the, you know, the cute little modern touches. He moonlights as an Uber driver, which is kind of fun because the first time they sleep together, she decides that she's going to kind of get up in the middle of the night and call an Uber driver. Well, guess where the closest Uber driver is? 2 feet away. Ping, ping. He goes, I could be there in 30 seconds. You know? Neat little touches like that. And then it takes this pivot where she spends most of the second half of the movie, the Emily character, in a coma. But we still see her in flashbacks, and we get to meet the two parents and the clashing of the cultures, and there's some heavy drama. But it remains throughout a really, really funny, sharp comedy, and it's reminiscent of comedies like Annie Hall or When Harry Met Sally. When you think about almost all the best romantic comedies, there's always a lot of drama in them as well. Mm-hmm. And they have to be grounded in some kind of reality, right? You got to feel like if you saw that couple at a restaurant, at a comedy club, walking on the street, you'd want to know them and you'd root for them, but you'd believe they really exist. I love this film.
This is why Kate Hudson was not in it.
Exactly.
Matthew McConaughey.
Or Lenny Kazan.
I already Googled she's not the mother or grandmother.
No, but Zoe Kazan does come from show business royalty. Her grandfather was the famous director who then, of course, got involved in the, some of the blacklisting controversy back in the 1950s. And her parents are famous screenwriters. Her father wrote Francis and tons of other at close range, lots of the big prestige movies of the 80s and 90s. So she does come from a show business family. They're terrific together. She does have a little bit of like a young Meg Ryan or a Diane Keaton, kind of a vibe. And the performance by Kumail, people are like, well, Kumail's just playing himself. That's a hard thing to do in a movie where you're playing, your alter ego, essentially, especially because he's reliving. This all really happened. They're together now, 10 years later, he and Emily. She's still quite, she's suffering from very kind of a rare disease. She's doing okay, But it's something that strikes like, you know, 0.001.2% of the population. So, you know, everything that happens here is kind of grounded in reality. Of course, they take it to the next height. There's a lot of cool Chicago scenes too, and it feels like right now there's a ton of things out there about the life of the stand-up comic, a couple of TV shows mm-hmm. and movies and stuff, and yeah. it's kind of been done to death. Yeah. But there's not much of that in there. This is not what this is about, but there's just enough of that, the kind of backstage stuff with the comics vying for time and all that kind right. of stuff. And that's really well done, too. I love this film. I think it's like it does really – I mentioned some classic romantic comedies. It deserves to be mentioned in the same breath wow. as those comedies. Gosh. It's so smart. The cultural stuff is really, really funny. Here's a moment. I think if we have time, we're going to play a clip. So Ray Romano's the dad, right, of Emily, who's in the coma. And he's trying to bond with Kumail, who he knows is Muslim. And this is his attempt to bond with him and talk to him and kind of, you know, kind of really rap with him.
So, 9/11. No, I mean, I've always wanted to have a conversation about it with people.
You've never talked to people about 9/11?
No, what's your stance?
What's my stance on 9/11?
anti. It was a tragedy.
I mean, we lost 19 of our best guys.
Huh? That was a joke, obviously. 9/11 was a terrible tragedy. And it's not funny to joke about it.
Wow. Wait, stop and think about that for a second. That's a 9/11 joke.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When is it? How have you it ever heard a 9/11 joke in a movie?
I can't think of a time I had.
It took 16 years, but it worked.
You know, and that's the thing. The reason I thought it, you know, it's okay to play that because of the context. He's actually, you know, he's really having a little bit of fun at the expense of, you know, a well-meaning guy saying, well, you're Muslim. I shouldn't talk about that. And then he does say, like, that was a joke, you know.
Yeah.
But when he said 19 of our best guys, yeah, half the theater fell over laughing. It was, well, that's, whoa, hey. But that's, you know, there's only a few moments like that are that edgy. You know, overall, it is the kind of romantic comedy, I think, you know, across generations it works. And the cultural stuff with the arranged marriage and all that stuff is really funny, too, where, you know, every time he goes to mom and dad's for dinner, they're like, oh, look who stopped by today. And it's a young girl who literally, they bring resumes with them, you know, like what TV shows they like, why they'd be a good candidate for the arranged marriage.
So you already kind of know it has a happy ending anyway, right? Because, or do we? We don't know.
Well, you
we didn't
know.
Reveal and, that.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you look at Annie Hall. They
well, they're
just
out
like,
promoting
you know,
the movie. The husband and wife are mm-hmm. out promoting the movie yeah. together.
But they could take some licenses.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're together. Look, let's put it this way. You know, spoiler alert, she doesn't end the movie in the coma. You know, stay tuned. I mean, you know, clearly she has recovered. But, you know, in most of these stories, it's not so much about how are they going to end up together. It's how they get there. And I just love the way it's all executed so well. It's so much a cut above. And I'm, you know, look, I'm a big fan. A lot of this is Judd Apatow kind of under his umbrella. I'm a big fan of his stuff, but a lot of it is way over the top. You know, it's farce and it's, you know, yeah. it's gross out stuff. And this one, like I said, you know, you believe that these are authentic characters. It's next level filmmaking and writing and acting as well. And the minute Ray Romano and Holly Hunter walk into the hospital, you're like, okay, this is going to be good.
Wow.
And just their dynamic together. They remind you of a lot of couples who have been together for a long time and love each other. But she starts in and he goes, oh, here we go with the greatest hits. Let's go. Let's hear it. You know, I don't do this. I don't do that.
What is, how many stars?
4 stars for Big Sick.
Oh, nice. Oh. I want to see this one. That sounds right up my alley.
It is universally acclaimed at this point. I'm sure some reviewer will figure out a reason not to like it. But you know, it's not a great title. You know, I think, you know, maybe if it was a book about this, it might be because the Big Sick people are like, what is this about? You know, it almost sounds like a documentary
about
the healthcare
industry. You
have 2 4-stars
this weekend, don't you?
Yeah, pretty rare stuff. I think it deserves, you know, best picture consideration, especially in this day and age when we have 8 or 9 best picture nominees. I think it's probably a little bit of an uphill battle for that because it's a smaller film. And that's the other thing. I hope people go and take a chance on this because you got Despicable Me 3 and you've got, you know, Baby Driver and all these big movies still in theaters. And this is the kind of movie that I, you know, you hope finds an audience so that they get to make more movies like this.
Uh-huh. That's a good point.
Let's talk about let's do Beguiled right now. Okay. But I want to hear your story about what happened with poor Will Ferrell. Nothing ever goes
right
for him.
Okay, so I'll give you a quick hit on the Beguiled. 1971, it was a Clint Eastwood movie. And if you go back and watch that, it is maybe the craziest Clint Eastwood movie he's ever done. This is a remake of it, which isn't quite as crazy, but it's still pretty crazy. Colin Farrell gives one of his best performances of his entire career. He plays a Union soldier fresh off the boat from Ireland, who's basically a mercenary, took another soldier's place toward the tail end of the war. He gets wounded in Virginia, and a young girl finds him, brings him back to the school for girls, where there's only like about six or seven people still living there. Nicole Kidman's the headmistress, Kirsten Dunst is the teacher, and there's like three or four young girls. So now you've got handsome Colin Farrell recovering from a leg injury in a house filled with women of various ages who haven't seen a man in about 3 years because they're all out there losing the Civil War to the North. And he works his charm on each and every one of them in each and every way you can possibly imagine. And he's beguiling them, and they're beguiling him. And it starts off as a fairy tale, and then it becomes a very fractured fairy tale. And we'll just leave it at that.
How many stars?
3 stars for the beguiling.
Three and a half?
Yes, yeah, so, as I recall now.
Colin Farrell, yes. That's basically like a weekend for him, though, isn't it?
That's kind of who he is.
Exactly,
right?
What you just described. All right, what happened? Speaking of Farrells, what happened to Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler, and why was Richard Roper kept away?
Banned!
What is going
banned
on?
Banned from the house!
Away from the screening of the house. We will talk about that.
Okay.
Crazy.
But first, Violetta Podomatic with the last traffic report of the afternoon. Richard Roper is here, the Roper Contra with Anna DeVlantis, and we were just doing the movie reviews. He's got 2 4-star movies for this weekend, The Big Sick.
Yes.
And Baby Driver.
Right.
You think those are movies that people are going to be talking about in Oscar season?
I hope so. I really do. The Big Sick, definitely my favorite romantic comedy in the last couple of years. And Baby Driver, one of the most entertaining movies of the decade. I think you'll love it. I think you guys will love it.
But now there's this Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler movie that's coming out called The House, and everybody was expecting, oh, this is going to be great. Oh, how can you go wrong with those two?
Right.
And then Richard Roper is going to go to the screening of it, like he does all this, so we can see it. So tell us about it. And what happened?
Well, it turned out they just didn't want me to see it in advance. They said there'll be no screenings of The House, and I said, whoa, what do you mean? I mean, I could see it a couple days in advance, or, you know, kind of quietly, just let me know where to show up, projected on the side of a wall in an alley somewhere. You don't have to tell anybody else. And they said, no, which is, we've talked about over the years, when they don't show you the movie in advance. Let's put it this way. The respective studios were trying to get me to see The Big Sick and Baby Driver 2 months before it came out. You know, like, when do you want to see these? You know, they were so excited for me to see it.
Right.
Same thing with War for the Planet of the Apes, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. But I've already seen that. When they want you to see those in advance, it's because they know they've got something on their hands. When they tell you we're not going to screen it at all, they know they've got a dog in their hands. And I like the whole idea of this. I mean, yeah, it is a goofy comedy, but they play like suburban parents who blow the nest egg, and then they decide to open a casino in their basement so they can pay for their daughter's college education. And rated R, and it seems like, you know, kind of has the potential for some zaniness, but no review. However, I will be attending the first commercial screening of The Big House tonight, The House, because I will not be stopped from reviewing these movies. So I'm going to go. What do? You go there and you give them money, right? And then they what is it, $4.50 now?
Yeah.
$5 for a movie?
$4.75 now.
You haven't paid for a movie in that long?
Yeah, last time I paid for a movie was E.T., the extraterrestrial, and his adventures on Earth. It was a cute, whimsical tale.
How did that do
at the box?
I don't remember.
So that'd I will see it, and I'll make sure I tweet to you guys and stuff tomorrow what I thought about it. But yeah, I always tell them this. Look, I'm still going to review the movie, so you might as well show it to me. You know, it's not going to stop me. I'm going to write a review for the Sun-Times tonight and post it on the Sun-Times website. So it's not going to stop me from seeing it. Just not going to be in that great of a mood. Not that it would ever affect my review, because it won't. I mean, you know this too. I've told you this, guy. I told you guys. Sometimes they've held a movie back, and I'm like, why'd you hold that movie back? It was fun. They did that with John Wick a few years ago, and I'm like, that's a blast. You should have showed that to people.
Usually, is it test audiences that are telling them, hey,
yes, focus. Well, you know, here's another sure sign too, Anna. This movie was made about 3 years ago, and it sat there and sat there and sat there.
But why would they release it then on a blockbuster weekend?
I think that's exactly why they're doing
it. Hide it.
Yeah, they could say, hey, now we've commercially released it, so there are certain financial things that kick in. You have now released it commercially, so you can take your loss on it.
Does it give them the biggest opportunity for people going into the theaters because it's a long weekend?
I think it's more than anything else. They want to get it out there, you know, just because, again, there have been a couple of cases where movies have been released like in one theater in the middle of Texas for 1 week, so they can say, hey, we released it commercially. Let's take that write off. Ooh, we lost $28 million on that movie. Because now they have released it commercially, theatrically, as opposed to letting it sit somewhere where it's a different sort of asset or liability. That's all that, you know, that complicated accounting system, as you recall from the lawsuit about Coming to America, where they claimed that that movie with Eddie Murphy, which had grossed $485 million, was a huge money loser for the studio.
Total
still
flop.
Haven't gotten in the black on that one. Hoping to make good on that one day.
Art Buchwald Remember was that? The one
yeah.
who sued.
Because he had written a treatment for a similar story, and then they said, no. They were like, wait a minute. It made like $500 million at the box office, another $300 million in home video. And by that point, it was playing like on not even TNT, like NT10, like things you'd never heard of. Nope, still haven't gotten the money back. We're getting close. we're almost ready to pay the estate of John Amos his share.
Oh, too soon. All right. Justin Coffin just stepped in, 720 WGN Chicago. It's 7 o'clock. And what do you have on the download tonight?
Spinal Tap is like that, too. That's what Harry Shearer is doing. He's like yes. suing the – he's suing because the company that had now owned Spinal Tap says, well, it's still in the red.
Still.
Right.
That's amazing. Still.
They made no money. They made something like $80.
Right.
Come on.
You know, it's funny. I have heard that from entertainment executives through the years that it's – show's not, it's just not making the kind of money we expected. Oh. And I go, and whose fault is that?
Yeah, I just, but how much money was it to make Spinal Tap in the
not for, right? $14. Yeah.
They still haven't made it back, I guess.
Most of that was for wigs.
It was a big article that Harry Shearer is going to take on that issue for all of Hollywood, for all the actors and writers.
And Harry's just the kind of guy that won't let go of that bone once he gnaws on it.
Harry was the one who led the revolt of the Simpsons actors.
Yep,
too. Right, remember when they were all holding out for more money? Which, I mean.
And they got it.
It's the most. Simpsons is now the most successful television show of all time.
Wow. Huh.
So how. And then they were like, well, you guys, you don't really work. I mean, you're not showing up. You're just.
What?
You know, it's like you go in, like, you know, we give you a couple scripts and you go in and you know, you read into a microphone. Right. I mean, how hard is that?
Yeah, come on. Hank Azaria's Fall Off the Trees, guys, who can do 19 voices. We can get anybody.
Right.
No, you can't. This isn't Gilbert saying Affleck and finding somebody to do the duck. It's a little more complicated than that, pal. You
know? That is totally
Justin
true.
And I saw a movie today together.
Yeah, we did.
Maybe we'll have to talk about that one when it comes out. We can talk about that.
Dueling Reviews.
Yeah.
Dueling Reviews. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. Which movie was this, or can you not say?
I don't know if we can say.
I defer
to Richard.
We won't say it, but let's just say it would be really interesting. I can't wait to hear what you think about it, because it's a polarizing film, for sure.
Yeah. Huh.
Some people are going to love it, and some people are going to want to actually attack the screen.
Whenever I go to see a movie, a lot of times when we go see the screeners, so Rich will be there, and I'll be like, I can't tell if a movie's good or not. I'm just not at that level. I have no concept.
So why are you in there, then?
Well, because I'm going to interview the director or someone who's coming through, but it's like, I will sit there, and I'm like, huh. Is it good?
Well, you were right about this movie, because there's certain shots where you're like, is that an amazing Terrence Malick homage that pays tribute to the German masters as well, or is this director just suck? I can't tell.
Can't tell, man. It's good. Tonight on the show, Artie Lang's joining us.
Oh,
comedian's coming to
Thalia friend
Hall.
Artie Lang.
Yeah, he's coming to Thalia Hall this weekend, so he's going to join us. He's going to call in. He's actually shooting season 2 of Crashing right now, which is a great show on HBO.
Amazing talent, Artie Lang.
Yeah.
Now, if he doesn't call in, I can call in as Artie for you. Hey, Justin, I'm going to be at Thalia Hall. It's going to be great. All these guys are going to do some great Chicago. I'm a big Yankees guy, but I love the Cubs, too. I'm
done.
I'm going to get to Wrigley.
That's essentially it.
If we can. Those guys are great. I love those guys.
You could do a David Orr. David Orr, the Cook County Clerk's joining us as well.
He said
he's not retiring.
I do a David
he's
Orr.
Rhoda's a David Orr.
Sure.
He's not retiring?
He is not running for re-election. He's retiring from public service. Yeah. So we're going to do an exit interview tonight.
Oh, good.
Cool. Yeah.
I had a little problem with David Orr back in the day.
Motor voter?
No. The fact that he requested that they put an oil painting of him up as a mayor
for a seven day stint
as mayor of Chicago.
That's funny.
And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Doesn't work.
You weren't gonna, taxpayer, you're like, I'm not giving him the $295 for that one.
My first big story of my career was the death of Harold Washington. And it was like that. And I remember that I was a street reporter and I was out there in the middle of it. I climbed up the side of City Hall to get an interview with some numb nut who'd climbed up in front of me. And I thought, well, I got to get up there then too. And if he's up there, I'm going to go up there. And that moment was it was a profile in com- complete lack of courage by all those people who were involved in it, whether it was the most amazing, what do we do now kind of moment in Chicago. I mean, we're doing like that now about the budgets.
Yeah.
But back then, I mean, this was cowardice on display like I've never seen.
Well, we'll talk to him about it. I'll ask him all about that. I'm intrigued to see what he says from his perch as the mayor of Chicago for 7 years.
It wasn't on his part necessarily. There's a lot of other people acting in a cowardly way. But
well,
then,
it's kind of his job to keep the wolves at bay for 7 days as they kind of figured it out.
Yeah, he doesn't get a portrait for it.
No,
it
you don't get
What
do you get a portrait for?
You get
a
portrait for being elected mayor of the city of Chicago or serving at least a year.
Or if you have myriad golf courses, then you can get a portrait.
Yeah.
At least a Time magazine cover.
Exactly.
So ask him about that, Justin.
Yes, I will. So that's all coming up tonight. All right. Great to see you guys.
Thank you.
You too.
All right.